Want to take a ride? From the high desert and the great American Southwest, exclusively on Sirius XM Radio, this is Dark Matter with your host, Art Bell. Now, here's Art.
Hi, Dark Riders. See, I didn't interrupt him this time. How you doing? Welcome to Extraterrestrial Radio. I am Art Bell, and it is my pleasure to be here. We've got a few things to take care of, and then we're going to have dreams tonight. We're going to be talking about dreams. Not just any dreams, but night terrors. Night terrors. Things that may come to you in your dream that you don't want to come to you. So this is going to be a very, very interesting program. I have never had night terrors. So this is actually one time that I'm going to be able to talk about something that I have not personally experienced. It should be very interesting. A couple of quick notes for you. One is, after tomorrow night's show, I'm going to have an announcement of some significance toward the end of the program. And in poker parlance, I will simply say we are all in. And we'll see how that comes out. A mystery wrapped in an enigma. I like that. A mystery wrapped in an enigma. It's hard to say three times quickly, even once, apparently. We are having our ghost picture judging. Therefore, you should go to artbell.com and judge. Look at the photographs. Declare what you think to be the winner. And we are going to be giving away tomorrow night a Sirius XM radio and a one-year subscription to Sirius XM. That's pretty hot stuff. So if you have submitted a ghost picture, then cross your fingers, knock on pressed wood or whatever you can find, and we'll, you know, maybe you'll be the winner tomorrow night. Ghost stories, last chance. I will look for ghost stories sent to me, artbell at artbell.com. If you're going to do that, just give me a short summary and a phone number, and maybe on Spooky Matter tomorrow night, we will call you. All right, looking briefly at the news, never all that pleasant. Another mistress of a former Utah doctor accused of killing his wife testified Wednesday that he had once described how he could induce a heart attack in someone and said he it would appear to be natural. A New York bus driver saved a woman from jumping off a bridge. Good. Hailed as a hero for preventing a woman from jumping off a Buffalo Highway Bridge. Six people shot dead in South Carolina in a domestic dispute. Seems like we used to be able to settle them more easily, you know, or at the worst, police come. But now a South Carolina man in custody, a one-time girlfriend apparently broke into her parents' home, fatally shot the woman. Her parents, two children. According to the sheriff, then the man dispatched himself, saving the state the problem. Well, here's one for the books. Dark matter comes up empty so far. Nearly a mile underground in an abandoned gold mine, one of the most important quests in physics has thus far come up empty in search for the elusive substance known as dark matter. I have a comment I could make here, but I will refrain. The Japanese Prime Minister, his government, this really is interesting. Somebody sent me a note about this yesterday as we were discussing Fukushima. The Japanese government is planning a State Secrets Act. This is very interesting. Critics say it could curtail public access to information on a whole wide range of issues, including tensions with China and, of course, Fukushima. So as time goes on, if this passes, it'll all be covered by the Official Secrets Act in Japan. The new law would dramatically expand the definition of official secrets. In other words, anything they don't want known. And journalists convicted under it could be jailed for up to 5 years. Whew. So in other words, if number four over there begins to go, and some journalist wants to report it, he's going to go to jail for 5 years for doing so. Now, you might keep that in mind. That's incredible. Simply incredible. I thought we helped the Japanese with our constitution. Well, their constitution, modeled after ours. But then again, we haven't treated ours so well either, have we? Defending President Obama's much-aligned health care overhaul in Congress, his top health official was confronted Wednesday with, with a government memo raising new security concerns about the trouble-prone website that consumers are trying to use to enroll. The document obtained by the AP shows that administration officials at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services were concerned that a lack of testing posed a potentially high security risk for healthcare.gov websites serving 36 states. It was granted only a temporary security certificate so it could even operate. You know, I shouldn't laugh. If you're feeling a little wired, exhausted, emotional, on edge, it may be our son. Our son has released four X-class solar flares since Friday. October, fittingly, has been one of the most active solar months in years with, 22 M-class flares thus far. For those wondering what's the difference between classes, flares, sun flares, are graded sort of backwards. The least powerful is an A, then comes B, then comes C, then comes M, or the most powerful X class. Each class 10 times more powerful than the previous class. So when you get an X class flare, the sun is indeed raging in the night. Actually, there is something above an X. It's called a mega flare, but that may not be official. And then there's this. I'm hearing a lot about it, so I thought I would pass it on to you. Nationwide electric power failure is realistically dramatized in a coming National Geographic television docudrama. But it is also being televised to the whole country, and it will be synchronized to immediately precede a U.S. government national power blackout drill. Now, I have no idea what we're going to do. Are they going to turn off the power for everybody? Anyway, this planned coincidence shows that the National Geographic television is emotionally amplifying an apocalyptic government prophecy by Janet Napolitano, Director of Homeland Security, who said that, and this is an apparent quote, a massive cyber attack and a natural disaster, the likes of which never have been seen before, are coming, end quote. That's from ABC News. Let me read that again. A massive cyber attack and a natural disaster, the likes of which have never been seen before, are coming. It says here, it's a quote from ABC News. Something indeed to think about, wouldn't you say? So I wonder if they're going to turn off the power or if you're all supposed to volunteer and run out and throw the master switch and cut your own power off and suffer. For a while. In other words, be a volunteer. If you're listening to this show right now on a computer, sitting on a desk somewhere, and you are chained to it, well, I have an answer for you. You don't have to be. There is the CC Radio FM Transmitter 2. And here's the way it works. You order one. And what? You're out only $49.95. It arrives. It's small enough to hold in your hand. It is an actual FM broadcast transmitter. So you plug your computer into this little guy, and it then broadcasts to all the FM radios in your house. Now, you, of course, have to be careful not to add any wire onto the antenna to make the range longer or look on the internet for such things. Because it comes all set to go. It has an adjustable input level, so, you know, you can adjust it just the right volume. But, I mean, it's so cool. Then you can go anywhere in the house. You can listen to the show. All this for $49.95, and it works with anything you plug into it with audio. I mean, well, for example, you could plug your iPhone into it or its equivalent, play all your music through the FM radio. Pretty cool, huh? Or you could run your own show. The number to call to order one now for just $49.95 is 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-8863. All right, coming up in a moment, featured on A&E, VH1, the Reverend Dr. Nicole and the Reverend Dr. Michael Sebastian, M-A-A-B-D-A-K-A, the Dream Team, are co-founders of the Dream Team, Celebrity Life Coaching, creators of the Trust Yourself System and the Trust Yourself Therapy. As authors of, count them, 4 books, folks, Celebrity Life Coaches, Dream Experts, Addictions Therapist, and Behavioral Sociologist, they deliver wise counsel using traditional methods coupled with unique tools of dream, sound, synchronicity, intuition, and quantum physics for guidance and direction. So coming up in just a few moments, we're going to talk with the Dream Team about, well, dreams, folks. Coming right up. I'm Art Bell. I'd like to welcome Nicole and Michael to the program. They are known as the Dream Team. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Art. How you doing? Thanks for having us.
Good to hear you both. Where are you, as a matter of curiosity?
At present, we're in Detroit, Motor City.
Detroit. Wow. Okay. I bet it's cold up there.
A little bit, like 35.
It's going to be an early winter, it feels like.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a cold winter. All right, before we get started in what's going to be scary, I want to ask a question. I've never had a night terror, don't want one, thank you. I've always worried about a number of things that I will ask you about in the course of the show. The only dream that I have had that I really hate, and I'm thinking maybe you can tell me, can you tell me how not to have a dream that I don't like?
Yes.
Oh, how cool is that? All right, well, here it comes. The dream that I don't like, in other words, when I go to sleep at night, I want to experience a little slice of death, you know? I want to go to sleep and then wake up the next morning and look out and see that it's light and another day has arrived and lo and behold, I'm here. That's how I want to sleep. However, every now and then I'll go to sleep and I'll have a dream in which I am trying desperately to achieve some goal, whatever it is, whether it's related probably to radio because, you know, I'm in radio. And I'm working. Oh, my God, I'm working all the way through this dream. And by the time the dream is over and I wake up, I am dead tired because I've been striving. I've been trying to get whatever it is accomplished. And I'm pooped because I worked all night long. How do I stop it?
Art, we'll start here. We'll back up a little bit. And then Nicole,
okay,
some techniques for changing that dream. And the reason that you're so tired when you wake up in the morning is that you have actually been working all night long,
yeah,
in your dream, because when we sleep we dream, and when we dream we actually leave the body in energy form. We're all energy, we know that, and we go to another dimension, and what we experience there is what we call the dream when we wake up, but it's actually a travel log of what went on in a different state of consciousness. So right, consequently, you, because you're in radio, because that is your career and your job, you work all night long in that other area to download what's coming into your consciousness in the daytime. So you do double duty, actually.
Okay, you're exactly right. But now the important part, how do I stop it?
Aha. Well, I would suggest, Art, that you merely hew, which is a phenomenal technique we'll share with your listeners.
I'm sorry, the technique name again?
H-U.
That I hew?
Yep. I'd recommend that you hew before you go to bed.
Okay.
And by doing that, you'll provide clarity.
I try to hew before I go to bed. If not, I have to get up in the middle of the night and hew maybe once or twice.
There you go.
Come on, explain what hew is.
All right. Hew is a toning technique, and it's based on physics and vibration and resonance. And let me give you a demo. Simply put, you inhale, and on the exhale, you hew.
I can't hit that tone.
Let me tell you, your own pitch is perfect, Art. So however it comes out, that's just meant for you. And hew is actually an ancient, sacred, universal name for God. And it's where the word human comes from. Oh. The word human actually means God-man, God within man. And in our research of the word, we found the word hew in 13 different world religions and their sacred book, from Christianity all the way to Zoroastrianism.
Well, don't think I won't try it, because I will, and it better work. I'm coming after you.
I promise. It stops nightmares instantaneously. It stops anxiety and insomnia. We call it one magic word.
Okay, this is none of those terrible things. This is just work.
Feverishly.
Yes, absolutely. Right? There's enough of that during the day. At night, I want my little slice of death.
You want to tune out, right?
Well, I had to bring that. I had to know. I'm going to try it. I'm absolutely going to try it. All right, now, down to biz. Some of this is going to be really scary stuff, and look, I know that what we're going to talk about affects a lot of people. Thank God, not me, but a lot of people. So, what is a night terror specifically, and where do they come from?
A night terror could probably best be described as a nightmare on steroids. And it involves, actually, physiologically, you have an increased heart rate, increased adrenaline flow, and you're experiencing inwardly some extremely negative impressions and visualizations and things that we call a night terror. And you wake up in a cold sweat. Most people, when they experience a night terror, are afraid to go back to sleep. They're common in certain populations, veterans with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. They'll have a flashback of being shot, being in combat, all the fear and anxiety that goes along with that. Children also, believe it or not, children under the age of five, experience night terrors quite a bit.
All right. Do you differentiate between a night terror and a, you know, just a bad dream or a scary dream? Or are they all one and the same? A nightmare. In other words, any difference between a night terror and a nightmare?
Yeah, I'd put them on a scale of 1 to 10. Let's quantify it. And we all have nightmares. Who hasn't had a nightmare? And it could be as simple as, you know, having a blow-up with your boss, and you wake up thinking, oh, my God, I'm glad that was a dream. But a night terror is something that we're actually almost afraid to go back to sleep because it was so traumatic. So a nightmare might be a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10. A night terror is a 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have any idea what causes a night terror? Something so dramatically, you know, maybe it's like sun flares, 10 times worse as you go up the scale. So that would make a night terror really awful, horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea what causes them?
Actually, our whatever is in our state of consciousness is what we experience inwardly and outwardly. So we are actually the creator of the night terror, unfortunately. But at the same time, because we are the creator of our world, we can correct that just like we can correct anything else. So we are fully responsible due to our consciousness level. But at the same time, you know, if we interpret and decode the message contained within the night terror, then it stops as long as we take appropriate action. Because whenever we have a dream, a nightmare, or a night terror, there is a message for us personally about taking some sort of action in our daily life.
Really?
Yeah. And once we do, boom, it goes away.
And night terrors are usually, Art, they're related to an event of some sort. For example, veterans with PTSD that have been in some dark place in combat, and they bring that back in their consciousness. In many cases, it's people who have been traumatized one way or another, and they go to an extremely dark place. And where they actually go is an interesting speculation also, but we have found that it involves, believe it or not, travel in other dimensions, and we get off into a dark area. So what we get from the night terror when we wake up is really a travel log of where we've been, someplace extremely dark and threatening.
All right, well, a moment ago, it was said that night terrors come from within ourselves, correct?
Correct.
And yet, I know that as we continue the interview, you're going to be talking about intrusions by others into dreams. We're going to even be talking about the possibility of death during a dream. We're going to be talking about entities. So if we're going to be talking about those things, how can you be sure that night terrors always come from within?
Well, because even if something, let's say there's an intrusion, you know, a psychic intrusion, dream intrusion type of thing, we're still fully responsible because we allowed it to occur by remaining open and allowing something to enter our state of consciousness.
Wow.
So it goes back to we are fully responsible once again. But there's techniques. There's techniques that can prevent this, that can protect us, and so we don't have to experience such negativity. And we'll get into all.
Yes, okay, let's talk a little about children under five. My daughter is now six, and she's had some pretty bad dreams, but not what I would describe as night terrors. Is it particularly common for children under five to have these?
Absolutely. And there's a valid reason why. And, you know, children under the age of five remember and recall their past lives. And often when a child under the age of five is having a nightmare or a night terror, the child is recalling an actual past life experience.
Wow.
And up until the age of five, then the veil gets pulled. They enter into socialization. They typically start school at that age.
You are so, so, so right. I've watched it in my own daughter, and there is a demarcation point at about five, somewhere between five and six, where all that was disappears. You know, whether it's previous life, whatever, my daughter talked about some pretty eerie things, believe me, when she was very young that just came out of nowhere. And I have always believed that perhaps a prior life was there, and that at about five and between six, somewhere in there, there's a change that occurs, and I can see it in my daughter. And suddenly she's in the present, and the past, and I guess really the past, has kind of faded and disappeared, but she's all here now.
That's so true, Art. And I think it's when they hit that, like you said, your daughter's six, when they hit that age of socialization, they start school, their focus changes from the inner to being spontaneous and the things that's going on within them to the outer, to being in school, being focused on habit, tradition, routine, learning, everything that they have to process on a daily basis. And consequently, I saw it in my daughter, and she can't come up with amazing things when she was three. And as soon as she was 6 years old, it's as if she shifted gears and those things no longer existed.
Boy, are you right on the money. Right on the money. That's really fascinating. So here's a question for you. If we were to discover a feral human being. That is to say, a human being, perhaps in their 20s, that had never been socialized at all, lived in the woods. There actually have been such people. Would we find that the absolute lack of socialization had allowed them to remain able to remember what was?
Well, I would say no, and the reason being, it's an automatic response that happens to serve as a form of protection so we can focus on this life and handle this life and not get bogged down with the events of the past. And I think it's an automatic response, just like we all have a dream sensor that jumbles the dream symbology, and that's within all of us. And so these things take over naturally. So I think, you know, while they would still, you know, not be socialized, the memories would still fade.
In other words, it's probably like an automatic mechanism that kicks in as a circuit breaker so we can focus on growth within this life or dimension as opposed to the things we know and have seen earlier on when we're 2, 3, and 4 from past lives that would really act as baggage and keep us from evolving here.
You're aware, I'm sure, both of you, that even as an adult, it has been said to be possible to hypnotize somebody and to regress them all the way back to their own birth and then occasionally into another life. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You believe it?
Yes. But I believe it's very messy, and I do not recommend it. Because no matter how highly trained an individual is, they lack the full spectrum of spiritual knowledge to handle that appropriately. And what it's called is leaving tracks. And so when someone does hypnotize, an individual, they typically leave tracks, remnants of their own consciousness within another. And it's a disservice. So it's a real touchy area. I don't recommend it, but everyone has free will, Art.
Well, there are doctors who have taken people back and then asked specific questions about that person's prior life, received specific answers, checked them out, found them to be right. That's pretty strange stuff, no doubt about it. So, but it kind of goes along with what you were saying about somebody prior to the age of 5 having these memories. It's really weird.
Right.
And you know what, Art? You can actually program a dream. If someone wants to know what a past life may have been for themselves, or if they want to even know if reincarnation is valid, they can actually program a dream and ask the question, are past lives real? Is reincarnation valid? Before they go to sleep, and they will be given an answer of pure truth when they wake up. Additionally, they can ask and program a dream, you know, show me one of my past lives, and they'll be given a dream, a past life dream. So people, you know, we're all about trust yourself. We're all about taking the bull by the horns and handling things personally. Total self-responsibility and reliability, which breeds empowerment and full knowingness. And through certain techniques, that is the result. And that's the angle that Michael and I come from, because we like to empower people. We like, you know, them to experience their fullness in every area, if you will.
Okay. I've got a friend, Dr. Albert Taylor. You probably know that name, don't you?
No, actually,
don't.
I don't.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not familiar.
Well, he wrote a book called Soul Traveler.
Oh, okay.
And it is instruction on how to actually leave your body, go and visit the location of your choice, obtain, I don't know, visual or audio proof of where you were, come back and prove to yourself that you actually were in this place you flew to. Do you think that's possible, to leave your body and to actually go where you want?
Yes. As a matter of fact, Art, and then I'll throw it over to Michael. Every night when we sleep, we dream. When we dream, we leave the body in energy form. So actually, we experience that. All people experience that on a nightly basis. And even St. Paul spoke of it in the Bible. He spoke of dying daily. And that's exactly, one of the references there. You sleep, you dream, you leave the body in energy form, and you travel. And you can do it through meditation. You don't necessarily have to be asleep. And the Hue technique, Art, is one phenomenal technique that someone can do if they wish to experiment with soul travel.
And it's like Taylor says, and we can do that through contemplation or meditation on a daily basis. And like Nicole said, we do it every night when we dream, but you can sit down, clear your mind, and then you leave the body, which is really called soul travel, and we go places. Where do we go?
Okay.
We go to astral planes and other dimensions, and we bring those experiences back in full cognition, and then we have experience of where we've been. Then we know it, know it in the Gnostic sense, like to know, the Greek to know. So then we have that proof, because people can tell us about it. I can read it from a book, but I think, well, soul travel, does it exist? Is it real? Have I experienced it? Not unless I've actually done it. But once we do it, we go, now I see.
Okay. All right. Here is where you and Dr. Taylor are going to radically depart from each other. I was so fascinated with the concept of soul travel that I consistently asked Dr. Taylor, is there anything that can go wrong? In other words, can there be an intrusion? Can you get into trouble? Can you possibly even die? Can somebody get to you? All these questions I pummeled him with, and he said, well, he was like a nuclear expert I had on. Everything was okay. No, don't worry. At the very first sign of any problem whatsoever, you will snap right back to your body, and there is no danger of anything ever happening to you. And I always questioned that with him. Was I right to question that?
Yes. Absolutely.
Art, intuitively, you knew the truth. It's always trust yourself. You are right on the money. And, yes, we radically differ in that area. But by using the Hue technique, because it's such a high vibration at a physics level, as well as a sacred name for God, by using the Hue, it provides automatic protection and invocation of your own spiritual guides. So you're automatically protected.
But can you get into trouble when you are out of the body and traveling in other dimensions? Absolutely. There are things out there that can freeze the soul, literally, that are so dark. Just like
you. Wait a minute. Stop at that phrase right there. Freeze the soul.
Freeze the soul.
That's what I'm going to remember.
Okay.
Freeze the soul. All right. Explain that, please.
Well, the law that really... that applies here is as above, so below, the first law of magic, and it's one of the first spiritual laws. In other words, whatever is valid here on this plane, the physical plane, really is valid on the internal planes also, the astral planes and the other planes where we travel when we soul travel. So consequently, if there are dark forces here, if there are criminals here, if there are people who would sometimes intend us harm, which there are also those things on the other planes. Many people I've run into who speak of this subject, they go, it's all light and love on the other planes. Mm. Well, that's not really the case. That's not what we've found in our research in soul traveling. So we're here to, at least give your listeners some techniques.
Okay.
Some protection that they can take with them when they do their soul traveling.
All right. Now a question for you. As I listen to you, some of the things that you're saying, I'm pretty wise in the way of witchcraft. Now, some of the phrases that you've turned make me think witchcraft. And don't say anything yet. I've interviewed many a witch, many a really good witch, actually, Evelyn Paglini, people like that. And some of your phrases almost seem to touch on the edge of what I would hear from a practicing witch. Any comments?
None from me.
Any comments you want to admit?
I'll let Michael talk in a minute. It's nothing I've even read up upon, Art. So
wouldn't know anything about it, huh?
You know, Michael's done a lot of reading, you know, Madame Blavatsky and this and that. So, and yeah, so I'm going to give him the floor now because he
Okay, Michael, it's all yours.
You go ahead, honey.
Go ahead, honey. You know what? Here's a good place to take a break. Let's take a break, and we'll be back with the Dream Team, Nicole and Michael. It's like stumbling into the middle of a dream. Hey, everybody, I'm Art Bell, and this is Dark Matter, Raging in the Night. Hi, everybody. We've got the Dream Team with us, Nicole and Michael, and I was giving them a little time to think about how they wanted to answer this. So, honey, you do a lot of reading. What do you have to say?
The forces of darkness. Actually, I'd go to a little bit of quantum, probably, and that is at the quantum level, we know that really all there is packets of light and vibration when you get to 0 point. And that when we use those forces, there really is no darkness per se. Darkness is defined as lesser light. Even in a black hole, there is always light. But when we manipulate those forces for our own self-aggrandizement to influence other people to for our benefit and not the whole, that really is defined as black magic. And there's a lot of that, as you well know, here that we deal with. And many people engage in it unintentionally. They don't even know what they're doing, but they're doing it through hatred, revenge, resentment, and those electromagnetic fields go out towards other people. And they begin to influence us, and they influence the consciousness of everyone because of, you could say, quantum entanglement. So that's a form of black magic that we have to deal with. All
this you would say then that you have read a bit about witchcraft.
Yes.
I knew it. Okay, good. Excellent. I am fascinated by witchcraft, actually. And I don't know that I'm a believer, but I'm sure not a disbeliever. And I think these things can be manipulated. These things that you describe can be done. And I respect the practitioners of it greatly, because I realize the consequences of failing to do so.
Exactly.
Yes, okay. All right, so where do you want to go? There are so many places we can go from here. I think Dream Intrusion is a great place to go. Is it possible, and I know you're going to say yes, that somebody can actually enter your dream? This is frightening. Really, it is frightening. Enter your dream and influence you, or even worse, somebody with evil intentions can harm you in the dream state. That's going to take a lot of explaining.
Yes. Yes, indeed. You know, dream intrusion. And it's real. It's easy to identify, actually, Art, when someone has a dream or a nightmare. You know, let's just call it a dream. Anyhow, when an individual has a dream and it's so out of character, that is how you know and identify dream intrusion. The dream you have is so out of character for you, your state of consciousness, your typical dreams. That's how you know. Maybe, you know, you're in the dream and all of a sudden, you know, you're having sex with your boss in the dream state. And it's something, you know, that would never enter your mind. It has never entered your mind. And it's something so out of character. That's how you know dream intrusion has occurred.
Jeremy, I promise you, I've never thought of it. I'm sorry. So if it's something so out of character for you, then it's indeed possible that it was an exterior influence that caused you to have that dream. Or, put another way, do that thing in another dimension.
Yes.
That's fair?
Yes, that's fair to say. And because what occurs in dreams, I mean, just as to level the playing field here, what occurs in dreams occurs. It's a reality. The same as what we're talking right here is, you could say, is one reality.
Reality. Mm-hmm.
A certain type of consciousness. Dreams are another type of consciousness, but we're really there doing it. And the fact that maybe we're engaging in a behavior that's unusual for us is probably an influence from someone else who is either obsessing with us, focusing on us, has resentment, anger, whatever, toward us, and they're holding that attitude and dwelling on it. That attitude or electromagnetic field comes into our dreams, and at that point, it takes shape, and consequently, we experience it as something rather bizarre that we would rather not do. And that's how we identify, usually, dream intrusions. We're getting drugged into some activity or behavior that normally we would not engage in. And that other person is triggering it. They're actually in our dream.
But once again, I have to point out that we are fully responsible for allowing such an event to occur. And we must keep our auric field sealed tightly and practice divine love.
Oh, wait. How does one seal one's auric field?
Oh, by the hue. Just hue, and it handles it.
Boy, this hue really covers a lot of territory.
I promise, our one magic word for real. Yeah, it does the trick.
As a vibration, our auric field is an electromagnetic field, as you know. And we get, unfortunately, we get a weakened auric field, or we get holes punched in our auric field having to do with the influences of our daily life. What would punch a hole in an auric field? Being too close to EMFs, electromagnetic fields, sitting at a computer 8 hours a day, you can bet you have a weakened auric field.
If that's true, then my auric field looks like a screen door. I mean, I'm a ham radio operator. I run high power equipment. Now I've got three computers in front of me, two computers in front, one to the side. I've got a little radio I talk to my friends on right there. In other words, I've got electromagnetic fields galore.
See, that's a sign or a synchronicity right there. We're talking to you right now, so you can plug the holes in that arc field of yours with the Hue technique.
That's a prescription for you, Art. You know, three Hues and call us in the morning.
That's great. So you really believe that electromagnetic fields influence and or drive holes into your aura?
Absolutely, and cause great disease. You know, the word disease actually stems from dis-ease. And once again, we're responsible, you know, for the things that occur in our world and our state of consciousness. And, even narcotics, drugs,
yes.
Alcohol, cigarettes,
yes.
All those things yes. influence, weaken the auric field. And
I've switched to the new e-cigarette. Is that a problem too?
That's a thought.
Well, it is a vapor. And
that's
smoke.
All it is, though. It's just a vapor.
I'd say
anyway.
It's a step-down version, Art. You know, we okay. aim for progress, not perfection.
There you go. All right. I'll accept that.
Mm-hmm.
I knew smoking was bad on so many levels, but not this one. So, actually, drugs, alcohol, smoking, all these things that affect you in a physical way also affect you in a...
Spiritual way,
yes. That's I guess
yeah.
that's fair, sure.
It really hits your astral body, and your astral body is a little bit finer, more subtle body than the physical body. and it hits the astral body and causes it to be susceptible to, like Nicole said, then you're open to disease, you're open to people coming into your dreams, psychic attacks, that sort of thing that normally you would be protected against in your state of consciousness, because it's a violation of a spiritual law to enter someone else's state of consciousness without their approval. If someone invites you in, it's something else. But if you enter as a practitioner of some sort to influence people for your own benefit without their knowledge or approval, then you violated a spiritual law. Then you're practitioner of black magic or witchcraft.
I really like what Nicole said, dis-ease. In other words, if you're not at ease, you are at risk of disease.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Art. And it comes in so many ways. I mean, I'm also a nutrition counselor and a fitness trainer, so we work in the wellness field, as you know, and have for many years with clients and whatnot, and we've seen it over and over. And everything's really connected, as Michael keeps mentioning, quantum entanglement, and it's so true. You've got your physical body, you've got your astral body, and actually your causal and your mental and your soul. I mean, we really operate with five bodies simultaneously, you know, and all these bodies or states of consciousness, you know, become affected. And it's all, it depends on how we live our life every day. You know, the things we put in our body nutritionally, the type of exercise we get, if we meditate or practice, you know, some sort of spiritual path, the types of thoughts that we hold, and the things that we hold in our heart. And intention has everything to do with it, on top of it.
Oh, I'm really big on intention. Believe me, I'm big on intention. And we need to talk about that. But the second part of this thing that we were talking about is, can someone with evil intentions harm you in the dream state? And I want to ask about that. Is it a witch? Is it somebody in the black arts who would do you this harm? In other words, do they have to be in that state to get to you? Somebody who is a witch or able to dabble in the black arts, is that what it's going to take? Or can somebody who is a simple soul traveler but happens to at the moment hate your guts able to do you harm in a dream state?
Bingo. Anybody. Joe Blow.
Really?
They could just have an obsession with you, a fantasy about you. They could also loathe you, be in love with you. It doesn't matter. Just a strong, strong thought and attitude about an individual can cause these things.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh,
so that's what Michael was saying. They don't even realize it half the time. People don't even know they're practicing black magic, Art, and they just are, and causing all kinds, incurring all kinds of karma.
Oh, my. That's very disturbing, particularly, I would add, for a public figure, because, you know, there are potentially millions of people who know me or know of me or maybe even obsess about me, not millions obsessing, but some, you know, percentage. So is a public figure, just out of curiosity, should a public figure be more concerned about this sort of thing than the average person? Because there's going to be more people thinking about you, perhaps ill will, I don't know.
Absolutely. It's pure math. You know, more people are aware of you.
Yeah.
More people have an opinion about you. So it's pure math, and absolutely that is the case.
That's why public figures, if you'll just... You kind of notice in general, as a generalization, public figures have more... They pull more heat, is one way of saying it. That's because so many people are aware of them, are focusing on them with all kinds of negative thoughts, and they do impact, like Nicole said, our different bodies. So, you know, the old saying, keep a low profile, keep it on the down low. There's a reason for that, because you don't want to pull that. You got the secret. Cue it up, Art.
Get your hue on.
So this could be done, you're suggesting, unintentionally. I mean, if somebody is just obsessing on you, and so they could, without even knowing it, cause you horrible stress in the night.
Yes.
And that is really troubling.
Yes. It's just really troubling. I'm sorry.
You know, but, hey, I think it's better to know than not know. Wouldn't you agree?
Can I think about it?
Now that you know,
how can I ever get it out of my head?
That's right. You know. Ignorance is bliss at some point.
Boy. Okay. So all of that can happen, and it can happen unintentionally. And that brings us to an astral entity. Now, and to me, an astral entity sounds different than somebody unintentionally doing something to you, somebody's soul traveling, or any of the rest of that. An astral entity, or the name, to me, would imply an entity that is not, or was not, or never has been a human being, and lives in another dimension, and is not at all human. Would that be right or wrong?
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, it would be, it's yes and no. It would be right in the sense that, in this case, talking about it, it would be an entity that does not have a physical body here, and we call that an astral entity. Although we all have astral bodies, when we're physically incarnated, we also have an astral body, and we need one. We all need one, or we couldn't be here. But at the same time, an astral entity is usually someone who was here before and died, or as we say, translated, because you just translate the energy, and they're living in the astral plane, and they're wanting to get back. And I think Nicole's got a good story for you.
Oh, do I ever. Oh, my. And this is like present-oriented story I'm going to share with you and your listeners right now.
Well, it's the night before Halloween, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Additionally, what is an entity? Really, it's what people call a ghost. We don't use that word. We call it an entity. It's a more neutral term, and that's how we view it. But really, we're talking about ghosts all the same. Here we go. Okay, so this was just 2 days ago in working with a client and her child and nightmares. And she said, before anything, I got to tell you, Nicole, my daughter is frightened. She sees this little girl in the house that looks like a zombie, that has on a dirty dress, messy hair. She wants to play with her. And my little girl is so terrified, who's 3 and a half, by the way, she will not sleep in her room, she will not go in her room, and she doesn't even want to go to sleep. So we're up all night now. And this is as of like the past 2 weeks. And so I immediately asked her the question. I said, have you done anything lately? Have you brought anything in the house? And that's all I said. What I was thinking was tarot cards, Ouija board, psychic, medium, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't say those things. I was thinking. And she says, oh, my gosh. She says, on Friday, I had a medium over to the house for a reading. And this started on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo. When children see, because we talked about this, 5 and under, they can see the other worlds, what they see, the imaginary playmates. They're actual and real and valid and authentic. Kids are not just making this stuff up. And I know this to be true, so I took this very seriously, which is why I asked the question, which came with the answer of, yeah, I had a medium over the other day. Voila, a medium, and Michael likes this one-liner, so I'm going to let him have it, honey.
A medium is called a medium because they are a medium for entities to come in, also known as a channel. So when she came into the house, even unbeknownst to the medium, she brought with her this astral entity and ended up leaving it at the...
At the house
with the little girl.
And so,
this is kind of like getting on your computer and going to a website, and your browser says, we're trying to protect you from this website. We suggest you don't click. And so instead you just click, and then you get a message on the screen that says, to get your computer back, you'll have to send $700 to the following address.
Absolutely. Now, the good news, Art, okay, so we had that session. It was like very early, you know, in the morning. And So I gave her some techniques, and then her and her daughter went home. The techniques were this. Cue up the house. Literally, cue it up because it clears all the vibrations out. Secondly, do an invocation of anything that is not of the light must leave. By your command, it has to. Then I suggested wrapping herself, her daughter, and her home in white light. Lastly, I recommended wrapping herself, her daughter, and the home in reverse mirrors. Anything that comes...
Wait. Reverse mirrors. Yes, stop right there and explain reverse mirrors.
Reverse mirrors. If you wrap yourself in reverse mirrors, meaning the mirrors are surrounding you but facing outward, anything that comes to you bounces off the mirror and goes back to the sender.
Okay. This is all done mentally. I understand the concept of wrapping oneself in white light. The mirrors, I was actually picturing mirrors, but again, it's a mental thing that you draw, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And the hue can be done silently, and it's just as effective. But yeah, outwardly, you know, the hue and then the three other techniques, the invocation, the white light, and the mirrors. And so, you know, I suggested those techniques. Invited her to try them, to use them. She went home, and that night, Art, the child was at home, sleeping in her own room, in her bed, alone, peacefully.
You know, once again, you two, some of what you're saying really has echoes of the craft. I'll be kind this time, we'll just say the craft. Yeah. But some of these protections, the mirrors, the white light, it all is, it's kind of part of the craft, right?
Well, we just see it as tools of Holy Spirit, to be honest with you. That's what we call it. That's how we refer to it. If it happens to correlate, you know, then I guess those witches are pretty up on some good tools.
Oh, they are. They
you know
are.
What I'm saying?
I do.
Yep.
Listen, one of the witches I talk to is a warrior, a spiritual warrior. And so she knows, believe me, about these things and much more things that can be done to people that would curl your hair. So,
yes.
Yeah.
So you know what I said to the client? I said, you know, if you got to do these things, really, you can be your own psychic. You can be your own medium. You don't need John Edwards. You just, if you use the Trust Yourself system, dream signs and intuition, coupled with the hue, you can have all the answers you want. You can see your future, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, she has our books and stuff, and so that's all cool. So she's got the techniques. I said, but if you got to do it, I said, go to McDonald's. Keep it out of the house, you know? Keep it out of the house.
And you know,
I'm sorry. I really like a lot of what you've said, and it really actually makes sense to me. Even the mirrors, it absolutely makes sense. And frankly, it's part of witchcraft. In other words, being able to deflect or reflect back on somebody else. There's also a very, very big karmic issue here. If you intentionally try to harm somebody, I would bet you two would say, you know what? That kind of thing can boomerang on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's going to bounce right back on you. In other words, you're going to get the retribution, but you're also going to pay for it, which is called karma. So, you know, the craft uses the same things that we're talking about because they're probably more aware, well, they are, than most people out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's offensive and defensive tools at the spiritual level. When we go inward to those other dimensions where we are in jeopardy, there are things we can use to protect ourselves, and some of them are neutral defensive tools like the reverse mirrors, wrapping ourselves in white light, and the hue. And we're protected at that point. I mean, you can take it a step further, the craft would say, and you can take a, not to go too far down this road because I don't want to put it out there, but you can create a causation ball. A causation ball you've seen in the movies where it's like a ball of light and they got it in their hand. And some of the movies like with Thor and those different
mythological?
Yeah, mythological. And that they get a ball of white light and they let it build. And then wherever you focus is where it shoots out to. And it hits the person pretty hard, enough to knock them into their last life. Well, you know, at that point we pay for that
power.
For that power that we've just used, but at the same time we've abused because we've done harm to somebody. Whereas if it bounces back to them, they've done it to themselves, and they're going to get hit just as hard as they sent it. So there's the demarcation.
Just so you two know, I was married to a wonderful woman who was a practitioner of the craft. So I'm pretty familiar with a lot of what you're talking about. All right. I would like to bring up something just to get lighter for a second before we get back on the other side here. Some dreams, well, they're okay. I mean, some dreams are even great. I mean, sex, for example. There's worse things that you can wish upon a person in a dream than sex. I mean, nothing wrong with that. Maybe you're going to be tired, but you're going to have a smile on your face. So wake up with a smile on your face, right?
That's right. It's dream sex. That's the best.
Yeah, now dream sex. So if you want to have a sex dream, I would presume that you can bring that on as well beforehand, yes?
Yes, you can. You can program it.
Meaning you could program the intent of your affections, and there she would be in your dream? Is that true?
You could, yes. All you do is
really
drift off. And we do it inadvertently or unintentionally every night. People go, man, I was dreaming about blah, blah, whatever, work, for example. And I'll say, well, what were you thinking about before you fell off to sleep? And they go, well, I was thinking about what I needed to do tomorrow at work. Exactly. You just programmed your dream. Thereby, the same is true if you want a sexual dream. You can visualize before you fall asleep. You can visualize whatever fantasy you have for whatever particular person, and at some point you're going to pick up that thread as you fall asleep and go there, and that's what you bring back with you.
But I would recommend consent.
Yeah, you need consent.
Consent. And now see, you wouldn't think in the astral plane you'd have to have consent. You would think the consent would be, like, automatic.
Along with the karma.
As above, so below. In other words,
if you don't have consent in the physical, you might go to jail. Well, and that's the karma. Well, same is true.
In the astral, yeah, you go to astral police, put you in astral jail. It's not a nice place, all right?
All right, on that note, we'll be right back. Nicole and Michael, I'm Art Bell, and this is Dark Matter, or not so dark. Hi, everybody, I am Art Bell, and I've got the Dream Team with me, Nicole and Michael, and we're talking about, well, frankly, mostly the dark side of dreams. Dark matter, indeed. So, let's move on now to, well, before we move on, I would like to say this. I have encountered in my life one, I wrote this down when you mentioned it earlier about the medium. I was sent this horrible, horrible doll. I mean, this doll, there was no, it came in a package back when I did the other show. And I opened the package, and inside there was this horrible, that's the only way to describe it. It was a horror, a doll, an old, raggedy, but horrible doll. And there were some other smelly little things and other things in the box. Man, I'll tell you what, I looked at that and I said, it's out of here. And it was out of here. I mean, into the dumpster and dumpster out to the street. Don't want it anywhere near. I just had a feeling that I had received something really, really, really evil. Any comments?
I think you're on the money with that one.
Yeah.
just the vibration. See, intuitively, we call it reading the fabric, and it's picking up on the vibration of a person, of an object, such as the doll, and intuitively, you knew immediately. You read the vibrations on that one and got it out of your sphere, out of your state of consciousness immediately. And
trust me when I say there was nothing I had to read. It was like a giant neon sign flashing on and off. Evil, evil,
right.
Evil. That's how strong it was.
Yeah. Ooh. I don't know. Who sent you that? Was that an anonymous
Answer? There was no return address. And I, you know. So, yeah.
See,
it
even
was,
that. That was some bad karma on that person.
Bad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on now. You've actually got something you want to talk about called astral or psychic criminals. How do they take advantage of us in our dreams, and can we call ha, ha, ha? But I heard you mention them earlier, the astral police. Now, first of all, there are astral or psychic criminals, yes?
Yes. And they exist on the astral plane, once again, as above, so below. Just like they exist here. There are criminals who take advantage of us in our dreams, people who take advantage of us whenever we're in our astral bodies and are not fully protected, or possibly maybe we stumble into a bad neighborhood, someplace we're not familiar with, and we get out of our depth, and we can come to harm by these psychic criminals.
Yeah. I mean, like getting off on the wrong street in East L.A. You're in trouble.
South Central L.A., there you go.
Yeah, all right. So, South Central. So there really are these criminals, and they're really... But astral police, folks? Come on.
Sure. And there are astral police, just like there... And they're a replica, if you will, of the police that are here.
And
Some people call them, and I have seen them before, and I call them the Men in Black, you know, almost like
really?
The Men in Black. And, they come to track. Sometimes on a physical plane, they will show up to track down the astral criminals that are here terrorizing people that have come into our plane by one method or another, and to do so, to cross the veil without... having a body here is a violation of a spiritual law, and they're trying to track them down, and when they do, they take them back and put them in astral prison.
Jail.
So
you're really out of my element now. I had no idea there were MIBs on the
yes.
other side. I've never seen such things, so I wouldn't know. So you could actually be saved by one of these astral police, or if they don't arrive in time, God knows what could happen to you. Probably only God.
Yeah, and you know, you could take a scenario where some sort of serious harm occurs to you while traveling in the astral dimension or the astral body, and some people awaken from a night terror or a terrifying dream of some sort, and they actually have marks on their body. It's unusual, but not that unusual. Yeah.
Oh, no, I've heard of this. Oh, no, I'm very aware. Can you do the equivalent of calling, if you're in the astral plane, can you call 911?
I would call H-U. And you can use that vibration. Really, it's like changing the channel on your remote, because in a place of fear and darkness, it's on a frequency. Really, everything's a vibration or a frequency, as we know from quantum. That's all there is in all the universes. That's it. Period. And when we change the frequency to one of a higher vibration. Consequently, the focus shifts immediately, and we're taken out of that dark place. So,
here, I've got it. Here we go, Art. Something that happened to me years ago just came to mind. I'm going to share it right now because it's germane to what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, about 15 years ago, I had a procedure, and so they gave me Percocet, right? Percocet, opiate narcotic. Okay.
Yes.
So I'm home from work. You know, Michael and I, we've been together 19 years now. We're married, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm home on my little Percocet, you know, and when you're on opiates, you're kind of in this world and you're in the astral world simultaneously. You're kind
happy,
of in that
happy,
twilight
happy.
State.
Mm-hmm.
And so Michael leaves for work, okay? And he had just left. And I'm laying on the bed, and I'm in pain, so I'm really not moving. I'm not too mobile. And all of a sudden, I hear the sliding glass door close, and I thought he came back in. And then I hear someone walking down the hall. And I hear, like, you know, Michael used to wear Dockers a lot of the time. And as the pant legs would rub together, you can hear the material. And so I heard what I thought was Michael walking down the hall towards me. I thought he came back in. Maybe he forgot something. And I'm laying there, half here and kind of floating, drifting in the astral, this type of thing. And all of a sudden, I hear this voice, and I feel this dark energy come over me. And in that moment, I was completely frozen. I could not move. I couldn't do anything. And I heard the voice speak to me. It was not Michael. It was not a physical being. It was an actual astral criminal, if you will. And it was coming to do me harm. And in that moment, I knew the only thing I could do, because I was frozen, literally. I could not move my body because of this dark force, that I hewed inwardly, and it immediately vanished, and I was fine.
Good.
So
well, I'm curious, though, what did this criminal say to you?
It was sexual in nature, to be quite honest with you.
Oh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Well, then I won't ask. That's all right.
It was not cool at all, Art. So, and I was frozen the whole nine. So I've had the experience personally, and I wasn't asleep while it happened, but I was in between the two states. So it's real.
Is, you know, that's very interesting when you mention in between the two states, because a lot of very odd things happen in between those states. I mean, sometimes, this is pretty cool. When I'm falling asleep, I enter a state where I'm still conscious, and I'm conscious that I'm thinking of weird things. Does that make any sense to either one of you? And following that, I know that sleep is coming when I get to that state where I'm thinking of these odd fantasy, and I'm not talking necessarily about sex, just
right.
Fantasy type things, whatever it is. I'm actually, so it's kind of like a lucid dream almost, but it's a state I reach just before sleep.
Yeah, and it's called twilight. We call it twilight, and it's in between the two states. It's when you're slipping out of your alpha state, which is when you're drowsy and you're starting to drop off, but you haven't slipped into a full dream state yet, into a theta state, let's say. And if they were doing it on an EEG, however, it's a point of consciousness where we're really shifting gears in a consciousness or leaving the body. And at some point, we might notice also that we're picking up on strange new thoughts. This is the state at which a lot of geniuses, a lot of normal people get ideas from, musical downloads, new melodies, new tunes, you'll jot them down. Einstein was a good example of he'd sit there in his chair and he'd drop off just before he dropped off to sleep. A lot of times he'd be holding a pencil and he'd drop it and it'd wake him up because he'd get an idea and he'd jot it down. And he contended, in his own words, he said, this is where a lot of my breakthrough ideas occurred, in that twilight sleep. One of them was he saw a beam of light go toward, as he was drifting off, he saw a beam of light inwardly go toward the moon. And when it got close to the moon, instead of the beam of light going straight, it started to bend around the gravitational field of the moon. He woke up and he thought, could that be? Maybe light doesn't go in a straight line. Maybe it actually bends around. And he jotted it down, and sure enough, when he invented the mathematics to work it out, it was valid, and that became his theory. And then when they tested it with lasers, they found that to be the case.
All right. I've got one for you guys. Absolute. I'm holding my hand up. I swear to God, this is the truth. My friend and I were trying to figure out how to get a signal from here in our little valley here in Trump over to Las Vegas, and to do it in a very different way than it's normally done. And it was a very complex question. We had been bantering about 2 or 3 days, many of us, about the problem. And I was intensely concentrating on it, had no idea what the answer was, went to sleep. And I'm telling you guys, at 2 o'clock in the morning, my eyes popped totally wide open, and I knew the answer. I immediately got out of bed, went to a piece of paper, and diagrammed the whole thing out. And then, by God, the next morning, I woke up, I looked at the diagram, and it was the answer. It was so... These things can happen. You can solve them in your sleep. And I'm not talking about twilight sleep, but sleep. My eyes popped open at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I had it, baby. It was in my head. I put it to paper, went back to bed. I think I did call somebody and make them angry and woke them up because I was so excited. But then went back to bed, and sure enough, it was the answer.
That's where the maxim, just sleep on it, comes from, because we literally problem solve, get answers, get guidance, get solutions while we're sleeping, and there's proof, your own experience with it. And it's so cool. I mean, and that's why we just, you know, we totally dig dreams, because there's such benefit, benefit.
And I actually met Nicole many, many years ago. I met Nicole in a dream 5 full years before I ever laid eyes on her or met her in my daily reality, in my physical life.
Wow.
I had a dream. And I was teaching at a college in Texas at the time. Had a dream that was one of those lucid dreams, real clear. Woke up completely remembering the dream, and the girl in the dream was named Nicole. She was a stranger, and I jotted down the way she looked, her name. And we were in chemistry class together, which, you know, indicates there's going to be chemistry. Fast forward 5 years, and who walks into my class? I'm teaching sociology. Who walks into my class but the dream girl, Nicole? And it changed my life. I mean, that's
amazing.
When I knew the validity of dreams, yeah.
All right, here's another one for you, dream-related. I want the answer to this. I have for a long time. If we have even a very striking dream, unless we write it down, unless we make note of it in some way that, you know, we can hold on to it, our dreams slip away really, really quickly. And while it was a very impactful dream, whatever it was, it can be gone in 10 minutes of getting up to get your coffee or whatever it is you're doing. It's gone, and all you can remember is, my God, I had this incredible dream last night, but I can't remember it.
You got it, and it's because it occurred in a different state of consciousness. So when we wake up, now we're in the physical state of consciousness, and the whole key is to download the dream. And a really good technique is when you wake up, you lie still in bed, and you keep your eyes closed so you're still connected to that other state. You let the dream filter down to this state, then you grab hold of it, jot it down, then you go about your day. Otherwise, it's like smoke, Art. You're absolutely right. It's gone, and it's really gone. Good luck getting it back.
All right. You're telling me that occasionally we have past life dreams. Now, that means you're dreaming the dream of somebody who lived before you but whose soul still resides within, right?
Eloquent, yes.
Exactly.
Okay. And how do we recognize, I mean, dreams can be pretty esoteric, right? How do we recognize it's one of our predecessors?
Well, there's a knowingness. I have experienced this in this manner, that there's a knowingness that goes with it. You intuitively know that that was you in a prior lifetime. Additionally, perhaps a dream may go like this. You're having a dream, and all of a sudden you can speak fluent German in the dream. And maybe you're even in Germany, and you don't speak German, and you've never been to Germany in this life, but this whole type of dream occurred. That's a good indicator that that's a past life dream. Couple that with intuitive knowingness, and voila, you've got your answer.
Or additionally, Art, you might be a Roman centurion, and you've got a feel for it. There's a feel that goes with it. When you wake up, you go, oh, my God, that was so real. I was a centurion. I was in Rome. I was just wiping
the blood off my blade.
That's right. I was in the arena and taking care of the lions. But that's one way. I mean, that's a sure way to identify those past life dreams. Gender also. Possibly you're a male in this life, and you have a dream in which you're a female, and you wake up, it was so real. And that feeling.
Never had it. That's pretty cool. So you cross-gender dreams. I've never had one, never dreamed of being female. I don't know if I'm wild about the idea. But actually, in a way, I am, because it'd be kind of interesting to know what the other side is like.
Exactly. That's a easy way of doing it. You get a complete taste, touch, feel for the other side. Yeah.
So if you were to have such a dream, you would experience the characteristics of the female body as opposed to the male body, of the way it feels to be a female, of the way the ups and downs of being a female, or the other way around, of being a male. That's amazing. I would love to have that. How do I get that if I'd like to give that a shot?
You can program it.
That's right.
Program it tonight. And honestly, you know, programming, so you'll program it and you'll have it, but you might not remember. So if it doesn't, if you don't get the answer the first or experience on the first night, don't give up. Program it again. Usually by the third night, you'll have the experience and you will remember it as well.
You categorize past life dreams as so terrifying that you might not want to go back to sleep. That terrifying?
It depends on the past life.
Yeah.
Some could be heavenly.
In many cases, you might tap into how you died in the previous life. And, that may not be so pleasant. You know, getting buried, think about it, getting buried alive or all the different things.
Yeah, you know what I have found, you know, for knowingness, it's good to program. You know, is reincarnation real? Are past lives valid? You know, show me a past life. That's very, very direct. But the way I allow my own dream tracking to work is I allow it to come in the manner that spirit wants it to be delivered to me. In other words, if I have a question, you know, should I take this job, should I move, I'll be very direct in knowing this that way. But as far as past life dreams, I let spirit deliver to me whatever is best for my unfoldment. So I don't mess with it. Because maybe I don't want that experience, Art, because maybe it's going to be disharmonious, you know, and unsettling. So I let things flow naturally with the best intentions behind it.
I would say my biggest fear in life, folks, is the earth opening up and swallowing me. So every time I see one of these stories of a sinkhole on the news, I get the shudders. I'm telling you, it just freaks me out. There was a guy that got swallowed by a sinkhole and killed not very long ago who had been in bed.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, that's right. Sinkhole opened, swallowed him. I don't think they ever found his body, so he was instantly buried. That's, to me, just absolutely terrifying.
Let me mention something. A good way to know if something is past life connected is this. If something is presented, whether it's an idea, a thought, an activity, or a person, and upon the thought of it or upon meeting the person, we have a strong affinity or a strong disdain for the thought, idea, activity, or person. And there's no apparent connection to this life. It is past life related, and that is a surefire way of knowing.
So your fear of being swallowed by the earth is probably connected to a past life incarnation and how you died in that lifetime.
I don't much like that.
I don't blame you.
Really, I don't.
You know, some people have a fear of water, but there's no apparent connection in this life. A past life connection. Maybe they meet someone and they immediately just adore the person. They totally vibe with them and everything's cool. Past life connection. Same case in point, you meet someone and you are highly offended by this person and there's not even really a valid reason why. Past life connection.
Yep.
An example would be my now wife who, believe it or not, having lived all her life on an island, had no clue how to swim. How do you live on an island not know how to swim? Anyway, I taught her to swim. Now, for me, once I learned to swim, my fear of water went away, but not hers. Even though she knows how to swim, which means you can save yourself if something bad happens, you can swim. Still, she is absolutely terrified of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And I've wondered, where does that come from? Once you know how to swim, you shouldn't be afraid anymore.
One would think, but then again, if we look at it from the viewpoint of what I just mentioned, perhaps that's the scenario, and that's the explanation.
Isn't that something? All right, we're at another break point, so hang loose, guys. We're talking to the Dream Team, Nicole and Michael. And they have written a number of books, some of which I'm sure you're going to be interested in. If you want to solve, well, whatever it is that comes to you in a dream that you don't like. You're listening to Dark Matter in the Night. We've got the Dream Team here, Nicole and Michael. And we're talking about dreams, and it's really, really fascinating stuff. There is the so-called great law of as above, so below. That sounds pretty ominous. As above on earth, so below. Well, you know, way down there. But I would suspect that these two don't even think there is a way down there. Do you?
Bingo. Bingo, bingo.
Really? Bingo, yeah. What? Bingo, yes, there is, or?
No, you're right. You nailed us.
Okay. You don't think there is one. Good.
No, I mean, you know, I think that there's the physical plane, the astral plane, the causal mental soul.
Mm-hmm.
Planes of duality. Mm-hmm. The astral plane, there's a small segment of that there's astral hell. And the most demented people go there for their karmic lessons after they translate.
Astral hell? Did you wait. Astral hell?
Yes. Our astral hell. Michael wants to tell you all about it.
All right. Michael?
It's remedial. Astral. Everybody yeah. Everybody gets out and goes back home. That's a temporary thing. Kind of like living in certain cities in the U.S., you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not going there.
I won't. No way.
Okay. You did say you're in Detroit, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's not like astral hell, is it?
I knew you were going to compare it to an astral
hell. I'm sorry.
It's such a bad rap, but you know, Detroit really rocks, Art. I'm not kidding you. Best food, best prices, the weather. I could go on and on.
People are pretty
spammy. Did you say it rocks or is on the rocks?
A little of both.
Okay, so astral hell is nothing but a remedial thing, kind of like getting sentenced, I guess, to, community service.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, actually it is.
Yeah.
So then we get released. And
not everyone goes there either. Like I said, the most deranged or demented you know, need to go to that place, but certainly not everybody.
And I think we create our hells here on a daily basis. I mean, there, you know, how many people live in a personal hell? I've met a lot of them. So we create our own hells.
It seems to me, though, you two, and maybe you can comment on this, that those people who are deranged, who are crazy as loons, and do these horrible things that we read about in the news all the time, well, frankly, they're crazy. I think we execute a lot of crazy people. And I've always struggled with this because it does seem to me that if you're mentally impaired to the degree that you do the things we read about, that you don't exactly deserve hell because you're not really making this conscious decision to do evil. You're driven to do it by some mental defect.
That's a good point. I think that's why Michael used the word remedial.
Yeah.
It's not as abrasive as it sounds.
And I would agree with you, Art. I mean, I think that these people, and a lot of people would disagree with this, but sociologically it's like their acts themselves, the act defines them. So many standard deviations from the norm, that defines them as crazy. And as mm-hmm. such, they're really, they have diminished responsibility. Under the spiritual law and under the physical law. So we take retribution as a society on them, but they are not totally responsible for themselves in that sense.
On the other hand, now, there are people that are mentally stable, able to make rational decisions, and choose to do evil. They're not crazy. They just choose to do evil. That's a different category in my mind.
Absolutely. It goes back to what I was saying. Intention determines everything, Art. It really does. Intention of the heart and the act determines
all
the
right.
act.
Now, we're going to talk about something really, really, really scary, as if this hasn't been enough. But I'm almost afraid to ask. I have dreamed, as I'm sure many people in the audience have, and we'll hear about it, of almost dying, but I never die. In other words, I fall off a cliff, and I'm screaming like a banshee, not going who, but going, ah, you know, and I'm going to hit the ground, but I wake up before I hit the ground. The question is it possible that sometimes you don't wake up before you hit the ground, and you do hit the ground, and not only do you die in your dream, but you die?
Yes. And often when someone dies in their sleep, and maybe they do an autopsy and they had a heart attack, that's exactly what happened inwardly, is they had a dream experience, and death occurred in the dream, on the inner, hence death occurred on the outer, via the heart attack.
I'm never going to be able to unhear this.
And you know,
I'm serious. I mean, I always thought you are protected in some manner, and that's why you wake up before you hit the ground. But you're telling me, no, you can hit the ground, and then, like, you have a heart attack, and you die, and you can't come back and tell anybody about it because you're dead.
And we'll separate these experiences real quickly. And when we dream, I think we've all had that falling dream at one time or another where we're all off the cliff. I have many times. And what happens is, as we're falling, we're really falling in consciousness. We're coming from maybe an astral consciousness or another consciousness in another dimension. We're falling back into the physical state. That's why just before we hit the ground, we wake up, because we're really falling back into the body as a state of consciousness. That's different from, and many people have had that, that's different from actually maybe being on the astral plane and having an astral criminal shove us off a cliff in which we die on the astral plane. And when we do, the silver cord that connects us to the physical is cut or severed, and we die in our sleep. And, you know, they say, oh, he died peacefully in his sleep. Well, that's not really the case.
you see now, that's another thing Dr. Albert Taylor told me couldn't happen. The silver cord cannot break. You're safe, Art. Don't worry. You could go from here to the moon. Silver cord would stretch out, wouldn't break, pull you right back. You'd be safe, no problem. And you guys are saying no way.
Well, you know what I like about the Trust Yourself system, Art, and I was going to say this for all your listeners, because here we are, we're having a conversation. Now, Michael and I, we do know of what we speak. However, people are listening, and they can believe it or not. But I say, test it. I invite everyone to test what we're saying so they can personally come to a knowingness for validation and confirmation. And through that, what I'm saying is, take it to the inner. Ask in a dream, ask to be shown a sign, or go with your gut to tell you the truth. That way your audience can have a knowingness as opposed to a belief or lack thereof of what we speak of. Because I want people to personally know these things. They
well, as I mentioned, I can't now unhear this. Now, I'm going to worry about this forever, forevermore, whatever more I've got. I'm going to worry about it. You know, the next time I have a dream like this, it's going to occur to me what you've said, that I may hit the ground. Now, that's just very upsetting.
Now, Michael, see what you did.
I can bet that Art's going to be hewing every night now. I know it.
You've got it. So if somebody were to shoot me in a dream, I could be shot dead.
Well, you'd probably have a heart attack. If it was to go this way, and they would have said you died from a heart attack in the dream state,
right?
You know, type of thing. So,
It doesn't matter. Gone is gone, right?
That's right. Gone is gone. So, and you know,
if somebody had evil intentions and knew you had a weak heart, they would promulgate a dream to you in which they shot you, and there's a problem. Probably a pretty good chance you're going to be dead in the morning, heart attack, whatever.
Yeah, and there we go back to practitioners of the craft. I mean, there are people who are very, very well-versed in how to do harm inwardly to other people without even being in their presence. So
it should be said that most practitioners of the craft are really good people who don't practice black magic. The great majority of them are good people. I don't want the wrong idea to go out tonight that the craft is all evil, because it's mostly all good. There are very few people who practice in the darker arts. I understand these people, but really, most practitioners of the craft are very good spiritual people. Yes?
I concur with
you. Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I definitely want to cover, at some point, connecting with deceased loved ones in the dream state. And I also want to make sure we cover prophecy and signs before the call is over.
Okay. Well, we've got a lot of time. This is Sirius XM Radio. When I say we have 4 hours of program, you know, to be absolutely honest, I'm sure once we've done commercials, we've got maybe 3.5 hours of program. Whereas with most programs of this kind, if they say they have a 4-hour show and you actually sit around with a stopwatch, if you're so inclined, they've probably got 50% show and 50% commercials.
Good point.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got a lot of time. We're cool. We're good. Tats. You have something here about cats being able to protect you from unseen forces, even perhaps in your dreams, and so forth and so on. I'm a big, big cat person. Had cats all my life. Have them now. Brought one back from the Philippines with me. Little beauty. And so cats are all around me all the time. They really are some form of protection. And if so, why not dogs? What about cats that's special?
Well, it's interesting because we have a black cat named Smokey.
Big fluff ball. He's a little Persian.
Yeah, sure. He's a real love ball. But he, in ancient Egypt, I mean, there's a whole mythology that goes along with this.
They worship cats.
Oh, they worship cats.
And the saying goes, cats have never forgotten.
You know it.
Yes.
They're all like that now, fortunately or unfortunately. But they used cats also to protect them against the underworld, the darker forces coming into your area, your state of consciousness when it's unwanted. And today, cats serve the same function. And if you have cats, as you've mentioned, you've noticed how many times has your cat looked over your head or in back of you at the wall as if they're seeing something, and suddenly they're just frozen on it.
All the
time?
That,
yeah, that's because they have the ability to not only sense and feel, but to see the energy, the spectrum of energy that we can't see. It's like seeing infrared. They can see things in the spectrum that we can only feel from time to time, like a cold spot, or suddenly your hair stands on an end and you wonder,
what was that?
Oh, my God. Cats can sense, they can sense that all the time. And their awareness of it keeps those forces in check, which is a really good reason to have the cats around, because they're like a dark forces monitor. And they always know when the presence is around that you don't want there, so they let you know.
Well, I should say, not only do they look at things that don't appear to be there, but I have seen a cat, I have three presently, go from apparent absolute sleep, if they're ever really asleep, to jumping clean right up vertically in the air and taking off like a bat out of hell. And you always wonder, now, what did that?
Right. Cats.
So I guess they're good to have around then.
They're good to have around, and they spend a lot of time on the astral plane. That's why they sleep
18 hours a day,
because they're half in the astral and half here. So they're really good monitors as to what's going on inwardly.
Yeah, they're really tapped in. Much more than dogs, because you mentioned dogs a minute ago. And they always have that half the consciousness is on the astral plane. So,
well, dogs are happy little beings that jump around and lick you, and they're really... But cats, it's as though cats... I had a cat that was sick, and I think I ended up spending about $7,000 or $8,000 getting this cat cured. And I had an opportunity to speak to the veterinarian at length about my cat. And one comment she made to me has always stuck with me. She was a specialist in Las Vegas, a real specialist. She said, cats, physiologically, might as well be from Mars. They are so different than any other mammal on the planet, internally, physiologically, that they might as well be from Mars. And she was absolutely serious.
Hmm. That's
something for you to remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. All right, young lady, there were a number of things you said you wanted to get to, so let's march down one of those roads. What would you like to talk about?
Let's talk about connecting with deceased loved ones, shall we?
Sure.
And I'm going to just lead right with the animals. We tend to reincarnate with our animals. So that's a nice, happy thought, because our animals are like our kids. They're like our pets.
Yes.
If you've got the love bond, which typically, you know, pet and pet owners do, and they reincarnate with their owners. Even go back and forth from cat to dog, et cetera, et cetera. And you'll know, because they'll exhibit a behavior in the present life, something that resembles your animal that maybe you had 10 years ago that's passed on.
Hmm.
They'll exhibit the same behavior. And that's how that'll be an identifier to the fact that this is the same soul. So that's a nice thought, something to share.
Well, it's a nice thought, but, you know, I mean, cats, to some degree, and dogs, act the same way. So I'm not sure that that's easily absorbed by me. I mean, they do act in similar ways. Of course, it's true. But I don't know that it means that it's the soul of the departed.
Let me be more specific, Art. Okay, let's say your cat... okay, here's an actual story of a client we had. The cat had a certain blanket and that was the cat's blanket. Then the cat translated. Now the person got a dog, and the dog kept going right to that blanket, just like the cat did, letting the owner know, hey, it's me, and I'm back. They'll use different methods, but something that the owner will recognize in order to let the owner know. And the way you can confirm it once again, Art, is take it to the dream state or set up a sign or go with your gut so you have full knowingness that this, in fact, is your reincarnated animal.
It's kind of like the test that they give to the Dalai Lama, and they bring those toys out and they lay it before the small kid or the baby, and it selects the same toy, and they go, whoop, Dalai Lama from a previous life.
Yes. Yes, well, there is a lot of that. I don't know how much weight to give it, but it's an interesting thought. All right, so there you have one. What else did you want to get in?
Oh, yeah, connecting with deceased loved ones.
With loved ones, yes. Now, before we get to that, let's talk about eternal souls. Now, I would like to understand, and I understand that you believe in the eternal soul, obviously. However, I'm not as sure. I do have some doubts, frankly, that there may be another side. I think there is. I hope there is. But I'm the kind of person who really demands proof. Now, so far tonight, with all the things we've talked about with regard to dreams, we're pretty much talking about a living human brain perceiving these things or going through these things. Now we're going to talk about after death. So it's kind of a whole new category. How do you all know that there really is another side?
Michael Lynn?
For me, it comes down to going there. Experiencing it. In other words,
going there?
Yeah, and what is truth, really? Well, truth is a knowingness that we've experienced. When we experience something at a personal level, it becomes a knowingness. And 7 billion people on the planet can say, oh, that's not so. And I'll say, yes, it is, because I know it to be so. Thereby, When I sleep and I dream and I leave the body, or I leave the body, soul travel in meditation or contemplation, whatever you want to call it, I have experiences in places that I bring back here in full knowingness that allows me to say 110% that I know there's a life after death. I know there is no death. That there's just a translation, a shifting of energy, because. And I
what is it? What is it that makes you know that, Michael?
The experience itself, by going there and experiencing it inwardly, and bringing it back to this life. It was interesting. Many years ago, I had a paint and body shop, and a local minister dropped his car off to have it painted, and he came to pick it up. And it was the end of the day, and I had a bottle of wine there, and I started drinking before he got there. So by the time he got there, I was just a half shade to the wind. And he asked me the question. He said, "Hey, do you go to church, or are you going to be coming to church on Sunday?" And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, you know, so that basically, how do you know where you're going after death? You need to cover your options here." And I said, "Oh, I know where I'm going." And he said, "What?" He said, "You know where you're going." And I said, "Oh, absolutely." He said, "How do you know that?" I said, "Because I've been there." And then I launched. And he could not get out of there fast enough. He grabbed his car and drove away and never wanted to see me again.
I hope he paid you first.
He did.
Well, I found that an interesting way that he presented it to you. You know, come to church, cover your options, you know. Mm. Sounds like covering a bet here in Vegas or something.
Absolutely. But
you're saying, no, it's really not like that, because you already know. And I'm even though you're telling me you know because of your experience, that doesn't transfer that level of confidence to me.
Correct.
No, which is why we go to the system, dream, signs, intuition, art. And you, promise you that that's your way of knowing this.
And you know, at that point, you can read it in a book, or if I tell you, you can say, "Oh, Michael told me he knows," but that doesn't mean you know. It's kind of like the Gnostics, you know, gnosis to know. And if you ask a GNOS, a Gnostic, if they believe in God, they'd say no. But I've asked them the wrong question. If I said, "Do you know there's a God?" then they would smile and say, "Oh, absolutely." And if I said, "How do you know?" they'd say, "Because I've been there. I've experienced it. I know that this thing is so." Yeah, therein lies the truth, you know.
Well, you ought to ask that of a guy named Matthew Alper. Hold tight. We're at a break point. And so that's exactly what we'll do. I want to remind you that I have an announcement tomorrow night of some great significance that will come, I think, at the end of tomorrow night's program. And, of course, tomorrow night is Spooky Matter. And that's when we're going to talk about ghosts. Oh, my, are we going to talk about ghosts, all of you. From the high desert and the great American Southwest, this is Dark Matter. Okay, I'm going to open the lines now. And it's a process. We'll open the lines right now. We'll ask your name and, I guess, what city you're in, and that's all we'll ask. And then we'll get you on with the Dream Team, because I know many of you have questions. How could you not, after hearing all this? Do you enjoy listening to Dark Matter? But perhaps you have not found the right radio yet. I've got a new product tonight. Sea Crane now carries the Grace Victoria Wi-Fi Internet Radio. Let me say it again. The Grace Victoria Wi-Fi Internet Radio that will allow connection to your current Internet Sirius XM account. How cool is that? With the Grace Victoria Wi-Fi Internet Radio, you can listen to Dark Matter without having to use a computer, a smartphone, or a tablet, or any of that. All you need is a Wi-Fi Internet connection. It includes a remote control, 12 memory presets that never get Alzheimer's, a clock with 5 alarms, and a great speaker so it works just like a regular radio. The Grace Victoria Wi-Fi Internet Radio is powered by included AC adapter, comes loaded with more than, are you ready, 17,000 free radio stations, as well as other popular services just like SiriusXM. The controls on the Grace Victoria, easy to operate, but if you need any help setting it up, the great staff at Sea Crane can give you a hand, and boy, do they ever. They've got great service. Order the Grace Victoria Wi-Fi Internet Radio. It is $199.95. Not cheap, but, you know, worth it. Quality stuff. $199.95. Call Sea Crane right now at 800-522-8863. Talk about all-in-one. That number again, 800-522-8863, or you can visit them online at seacrane.com. And it is not S-E-A Crane, it's C Crane. C as in Charlie, C-R-A-N-E.com. Well, all right. Once again, the Dream Team. And listen, team, we're going to get shortly to the phone line. So if there's anything else on your list of things, well, I guess we really didn't finish talking about talking to a loved one who has passed. So if you want to pick up on that and then anything else you've got, then we'll go to the phones.
All right. Briefly, we'll cover these things because a lot of listeners have deceased loved ones, and we hear it often from our clients. They wish they knew that they were okay. They wish they knew that they were having peace and things like this. And so you can actually program a dream to connect with a deceased loved one instead of going to a psychic or a medium, once again, putting it outside of yourself, bring it back within, trust yourself, and this is a three-step process, a technique. They simply lie down before bed. They do several cues for clarity and a heightened state of awareness and consciousness. They conjure up a fond, loving memory of the deceased loved one, and they ask to be connected. and they will have a dream with the deceased loved one, if not on the first night, certainly by the third. And in that dream, they'll bring a message, the loved one will, a message of love or peace or guidance, something of reassurance. And they can use this technique anytime they want. But additionally, it's on autopilot anyway. After a loved one dies, the emotions fade, and the family member that's still alive, living, after those emotions fade and they get clear, they will start remembering dreams with the deceased loved one. But additionally, they can set it up and actually program it to bring some comfort and peace.
How do we know, I don't mean to be rude, but I mean, how do we know that it's not our brains so incredibly wanting, our living brains so wanting to, as you put it, know that our loved one is okay, that we don't manufacture the information? That's the obvious question.
It's a feeling more than anything else, Art. And it's kind of like the answer to the question, how do we know anything? Well, unless we've been there, people can tell me about skydiving, but unless I skydive, I'll never have the feeling, I'll never have the knowingness of what it is to experience skydive.
You might want to put that off. I went on a lighter than, a hang glider and broke my arm. Bone was sticking out. You might want to put that off for a while.
But it's one way to, the dream will impart a feeling that we bring back as the real deal. And that person at that point has that knowingness within them that was what they were looking for. That's the assurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. how can we know in this life? That's as good as it gets. Or another example, which is one other thing we're going to talk about, and that is prophecy. And it's rather interesting because people say, well, how do I know that dreams are any more than just a dream? Like
right.
Your mother said, oh, it's just a dream, don't worry about it.
Right.
Well, if we journal our dreams, if we track them, if we jot them down and start writing them down when we wake up, we will find, here's something for your listeners, we will find that the majority of our dreams are absolutely prophetic.
Wonderful.
And it's pretty stunning. And the only way to know it is because we forget the dreams if we don't jot them down. When we jot them down, in a week, if we go back, or 2 weeks, we look at our dreams, we'll go, oh, my God, that happened 3 days later. That happened a week later. And we experience a breakthrough at that point. It's like dreams are prophetic. I've just realized it. And that alone gives us insight to the significance and importance and guidance, really, of dreams.
So, if I fall asleep, and I'm young, and I fall asleep, and I dream of something with really big, glowing red eyes and teeth that are about 3 inches long each, with a long snout coming at me, and Mom says, oh, honey, it's just a dream, I should be wary because red eyes are on the way.
Because the next night or 5 days down the way, you may be watching a scary movie, and guess what? There is that monster from the dream, and you'll go, oh, my God, there it is.
It's okay. It's all right if it's in there. You know, who cares if it's in a movie? I just don't want it in my bedroom.
I don't blame you.
All right. Anything else we should cover before beginning to speak with the peoples?
I think we're ready for the peoples, aren't we?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Bring on the peoples.
Here
they
come.
Let them have their say.
Okay, good. Here they come. And we'll begin in Oklahoma with Daniel. You're on with the Dream Team, Daniel.
Roswell's to you and many more Area 51s.
Thank you.
But anyway, my question is, I'm a trucker, and I do a lot of long hours and stuff like that, but there's times when I go to sleep, and I'm dreaming, and I'm around a crowd of people or something like that, but I'm still tired in my dream, and I'm trying to hold my eyes open. And I feel like a leaf kind of floating toward the ground, and my eyes are shut and trying to go back to sleep. What is that caused from?
It sounds like you're tired. you're simply tired, and the dream state's a reflection of this state. And you're like you said, you're a long haul trucker, so one is a reflection of the other.
And it's wonderful. We never get to hear from long haul truckers. It's just great to hear from you.
Well, I tell you, you know, I do get a good night's sleep. You know, from it, I get. You know, and you wake up, you feel exhausted from it. Still.
Yeah.
All right, I appreciate it, and I'll go off the air and let somebody else take it. Thank
well,
you.
We all hope that you long-haul truckers will stay awake. Because that's been one of my nightmares. You know, you see a big 18-wheeler coming at you, like, sideways, slipping, and that's one of the ones where you probably wake up with a heart attack or something like that. Okay, I'm going to take a shot here and go to the PC and see if we can take a Skype call. Matt, you're on the air.
Hi, how's it going tonight?
Just fine, Matt. How are you?
I am doing awesome. Hey, just had a question for your guests. You guys briefly touched on it earlier, dying within a dream. I actually had a few dreams where I have been shot by people and have collapsed, have died, but my consciousness is still there, and I am able to hear the surroundings and everything.
Wow.
I'm dead within the dream, but usually a couple minutes later, that's when I wake up, and here I am.
Mm-hmm. I think that's weird and unusual. Usually, of course, I've got the dream team here, so is that unusual for somebody to have dreams like that where they're actually shot?
Actually, it's not unusual, and a simple interpretation is death of something old making way for something new to come into one's life. Mm-hmm. It's actually a very good symbol.
Okay, Matt, enjoy your woundings.
Thank you.
Take care, buddy. If you want to contact us on Skype, it's art.bell51. That's all you have to do. It's called art.bell51, and away we go. And now to the state of Maine and Scott. Hi, Scott.
Hi, everybody. How you doing tonight?
Just spiffy.
Good. I got a couple quick things. You're talking about the dream intrusions. Like, you mentioned that you dream about something that you would not do, like sleeping with your boss. Just saying, the person you're dreaming about, or that you're not normally doing, are they aware of that somehow and kind of being like, all right, well, I'm going to go mess with this guy today because he didn't do his work too well? Do they know they're doing that, or?
Yes and no. Sometimes they are aware of it, and generally that they are not aware of it. But sometimes people will be in the same dream, and they will have the exact same dream, and they are aware of the fact that they have been in your dream, really in your state of consciousness, without your approval, and they're messing with you. Sometimes
that's
they know
really
it.
Weird.
Sometimes
oh,
they
that's
don't.
Weird. Yeah.
Okay.
Weird, very weird, having the same dream, and then, you know, talking to that person about it afterwards. That's really weird. All right, I get messages by way of something called the wormhole, and I have one here, which asks, do dream catchers work? I'd like to know, too.
If you believe in them, yes. If you don't, no.
Yeah, because your consciousness gives it power. In other words, if you believe in something, suddenly you're empowering it, and it does have power at that point, only to the extent that you just gave it that power.
So a dream catcher by itself means absolutely nothing unless you believe it means something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's kind of disappointing, actually.
Think of the power involved, though. We have the power to assign something, and suddenly it has real power to stop negative dreams.
But only if you believe in it. So it's actually kind of like voodoo.
And it's interesting. When for example, when I just thought of my daughter when she was 3 years old. We lived in the country, and I had built the house from scratch, and there was a lot of scorpions. It was in Texas. I must have built it where the scorpions lived or something. There was literally thousands of them, and I couldn't get rid of them. And she would wake up at night, and there'd be a scorpion in her bed or in her pajamas, and it was stinging her. She must have been stung. I don't know how many times. So at some point, I came up with a solution. I went down, and I said, okay, what I'm going to do is put a scorpion wall, because she was freaked out. She didn't want to sleep, didn't want to go in her bedroom. I said, I'm going to put a scorpion wall around your bed, and it's an energy ball. It looks like this. And I went, and I showed her, and she visualized it, and I went to each corner of the bed and did the wall, and guess what? No more scorpions ever bothered her there, and she was 110% sure it was the scorpion wall. And at first, I kind of had my doubts, but soon I would confirm the fact that it worked. And at that point, it was the power of the scorpion wall.
Okay. Does that work for spiders?
It should.
The reason I say this is because the other day a spider dropped on me, apparently from nowhere. It felt like it anyway.
All right.
And bit me. Back of the neck. Slapped it with my hand. Oh, yes. I slapped it with my hand, and I had a whole handful of spider juice. It was awful. The fire department came, and anyway. Let's go to Indiana and Tron. Really, Tron? Hi.
Yes, really, Art. How are you?
Fine.
I have a question for the Dream Team, and I have a quick question for you as well, if I can get it in real quick.
Okay.
My grandmother passed about 3 years ago, and she came back to visit me, and she still does in the dreams, and some of the dreams are just so real. I have conversations with her, and I've even asked her what the other side was like before, and we have a conversation to talk. Yeah, I did.
Wait. What did your grandma say about the nature of the other side?
It was weird. We were hanging out in her kitchen, which is kind of where I grew up, and I asked her what the other side was like, and she always liked to joke around, and she said that it's great. It's really great over here, only everybody walks around naked, so... And we laughed about that. That was her sense of humor,
I guess. I don't know if that's something to look forward to or not. Anyway.
Anyways, some of those dreams are just so super real, and they're so connected. And then I have other dreams about her where she's in the dream, and we're just all along for the ride, basically. You know, some dreams don't make sense, and right. I just wanted to ask them why sometimes I'll acknowledge her and tell her I miss her, and we'll talk, and then other times she's just along for the ride in the dream. She's part of it.
I think the difference is, one is an actual, you're visiting with her. The other is that she represents a symbol and a message within the dream as opposed to an actual visit. And those dreams you would merely decode and then, you know, extract the message and act accordingly.
That is a really good answer. I like that. That makes a lot of sense. And I have a question for you too, Art.
Sure.
I was listening to one of your older shows from 2001, probably. I don't know. And you were having this sequence of dreams for like a week straight. You were dreaming that you were living out other people's lives, and the way you described the dreams, there was this, you could even remember the most minute detail of these dreams, and you were talking to dream experts, actually, and I was wondering if you still remember those dreams, that sequence you were having, and the way you were talking to them, you were almost going to go check it out, like you were going to go to a different state, because you knew where the dreams were happening, and... I don't know. That's always stuck with me.
You know, I don't remember this at all. I don't remember it all at all. It could be Alzheimer's creeping up on me or something, but honestly, I don't remember that. Are you sure it wasn't somebody on my show? Or
It was you talking about it, and you weren't exactly thrilled about it, but you were. It was, I don't know, it was still happening to you, and I just found that so fascinating, and I just never
God, that is fascinating because I don't remember it.
It's been about 12 years ago, for you, so you got a lot of drinking.
Even 12 years ago, I think I would remember that. I remember I had one out-of-body, happened in Paris, France, while we were on vacation. So I think I would remember that, to be honest with you. I mean, that's a big event if you're dreaming virtually every night of being somebody else. No, I'm sorry. I don't recall that. So there you have it. Hello, Jeff. Jeff in Idaho. Turn your radio off, please. Off, Jeff. Off. Turn it off. There you go. That's better. Hello? Jeff? No, he's not there. So he just called us to play the radio. Brilliant. Dave in Indiana, it's your turn. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Art?
Just fine.
Hey, a few weeks ago, I'm a truck driver. A few weeks ago, I was in my bunk sleeping. My co-driver was driving.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a dream, nightmare, that I was on the top bunk. We were heading towards an overpass. The overpass was really low.
Oh my God.
And it was going to squish me.
Oh my God.
On the bed.
That's horrible. Do you know there's a webcam that watches an underpass, which has a million warnings. You know, it's like 12 feet or something like that. And this webcam just watches all the time while these trucks run into this thing and shave off the top of the truck. Just
right. Exactly
what you're talking about.
I've seen it.
Yeah, it's hilarious, but of course it's awful. And your dream, you know what, buddy? I'd stay the heck out of the top bunk if I were you.
And right before they hit the overpass, in my dream, I was banging on the cabinet to tell my co-driver that this overpass was too low. And when I woke up, I was at the foot of the bed, halfway off the bed, holding myself up on the floor.
Well,
and
would you say he's having a prophetic dream, or what does that sound like?
I don't know what the dream meant, but now every time we go under overpasses, even if it's 20 feet tall, I'm still afraid that we're going to hit it.
I hear you. Prophetic dream, folks, or what?
Yeah, hopefully it's not a prophetic dream, but it might be, it might be a warning dream. If Dave, if I would take it as a keep alert for the next month or so, all right?
Yeah, that's
here,
where it's consistent with sleep.
On a lighter note, I was going to say it's a dream that needs to be decoded, and it's something to this effect. If it were my dream, it would probably be in the realm of I'm limiting myself in some way. I'm cut off from something in some way, and it's something to do with work, which is why it happened while you were in your truck, because your truck represents work.
Right.
Yeah,
in the meantime, I'd stay the hell in the lower bunk if I were you.
It was funny because I wasn't even on the top bunk in the while I was sleeping. I was on the bottom bunk.
In that case, I'd learn to sleep in a seat, whatever it takes. I mean, their advice to you was stay alert. Now, how do you do that? How is that consistent with sleep?
Anytime I get tired out here on the road, even if I'm not done driving for the day, right, I pull over and I'll take an hour or two nap just so I can stay alert and stay awake.
Good for you. I appreciate the call. That's really scary stuff. Really scary stuff. If I were a trucker, boy, I don't know how I could deal with a dream like that. I really don't. Kentucky and Sam, hi.
Hi, my name is Sam. I had experiences in that twilight that y'all were talking about earlier where I was in having a contemplating like meditation, and I guess I closed my eyes and I thought I was dreaming. I looked around and I was me, but it was almost like it was a different reality. And when I realized that I was in this other like space, that's when I came back and I don't, was that a dream or was I, you know, in the astral plane? Or if it was real, I could feel the you know, wind, and I could see the plants moving, and it was really detailed.
Yeah, it sounds like soul travel to me, Michael.
Yeah, I'd say, Sam, it's soul travel. In other words, you were in a different place. And when you realize that, that's a sure signal. You'll usually, at that point, you'll bounce back into your state of consciousness here, back into your physical body. But that twilight sleep is when you actually begin to leave the body and become aware of it, which is really a nice nice experience. I'm sure you'll have it again soon.
Oh, yeah, it felt real good. It was right where I wanted to be. So I was, you know, kind of thinking maybe I'm making it myself in my mind, but... You know, it's kind of neat to know that that's out there, I guess.
Yep. Soul travel.
All right. Well, thank you.
Actually, okay. It's my experience that the beginning of soul travel is kind of disturbing. In other words, frequently associated with soul travel or the beginning of possibly leaving your body, there's a kind of a vibration and a humming, and it's not really comfortable.
And yes, and many people have said that actually, because we're not used to it in the physical here, and when we get ready to leave, a lot of times there'll be a popping sound like a cork being released from a bottle. Other times you'll get that humming sound, and you'll start to float out, which most people at that point freak out, and they come. When you do, you come right back into the body again. But as we get used to it. It's a sense of freedom. We're released from the body. How nice to be able to get out of the body for a while. Jeez.
Yes, indeed. All right. Hold tight, y'all. So, in other words, you begin drifting off. You start having little fantasies of whatever, and then... And you're out. From the high desert and the great American Southwest, this is Dark Matter.
From the area of 51, this is Dark Matter with Art Bell. To join the show, please call 1-855-REAL-UFO. That's 1-855-732-5836.
That's the number. That's the way to connect. And don't forget, Skype. I'm art.bell51. That's it, art.bell51. You can call with Skype just by putting that in. You don't have to be on lists or anything like that. You can just directly call art.bell51, as Dave did, who's on Skype right now. Dave, you're on the air with the Dream Team.
Hey, Art, how's it going tonight?
It's going really well.
Can you hear me okay?
I do.
Cool. I don't think I can say enough Roswells to welcome you back.
Thank you.
So my question leads into the last little bit you were talking about, that sound and that noise that comes when you're about to transcend.
Yes.
So I had an experience like that, but I felt like it was a shadow person because I felt that hum and I could see out of the corner of my eye, like I had sleep paralysis, I could see that there was almost like a presence there. But the more that I listen to you guys talk about this experience, it kind of feels like maybe it wasn't that. Do you guys have any experience with these people or experiences hearing from others about shadow people with the same type of, you know, the humming, the frequency, because I'll never forget that humming. That's the one thing that confirmed to me that it was there, was the hum.
Yeah, and the hum is really, it's that universal sound that we were talking about so far, and it's the hue, but at a real low level, it just feels like or vibrates like a hum. And even quantum physics talks about it. It's a zero-point field. It says there's a low-level hum or you can
very profound.
Yeah.
It's something you feel as much as hear.
Yes. And interesting, so, that you had mentioned out of the side of your eye, you could
right.
see a shadow person. We can see, when we look straight ahead, we don't see other dimensions or perceive other entities, but when we look out of the side of our eye, we will catch sight of things moving sometimes. Everyone's had that experience, and that's because it's real. It's the same thing that cats see and feel all the time because they're connected with the other side, the astral zone. But we always catch it out of the side of our eye, and that is real.
Because it definitely felt real, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Thank you for answering my question. I really appreciate it, and I'm loving that you're back, Art.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for calling. I've got a theory about this, and I might as well expound on it very quickly. It is as follows. Yes, we see things in our peripheral vision, and I think that everybody sitting in front of computers, which are going at a faster scan rate all the time, are beginning to be influenced by that scan rate, by that frequency. And I think that increasingly it allows more and more people to see these things that otherwise they wouldn't see. That's just a theory.
Yeah, I would agree. I think you're right on the money. And I think it's interfering with the EMFs that come off of the computer and TV and cell mm-hmm. phones, low radio mm-hmm. frequency, actually interfere with the electromagnetic field surrounding the body. You can call it our arc field, but it's a, you know, we can measure it. It's a field. And with the breakdown of that or the interference of that, we are starting to pick up more radically on the other energies that exist all around us all the time. We're like fish in a sea, and we don't realize that there's other entities or beings or vibrations or frequencies in there with us. Now we're starting to pick up on it because of our exposure to some of the technology that we previously never had.
There you go. Let's go to Tammy in Missouri. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, Tammy. How are you tonight, Art?
Fine.
Well, I've got well wishes for little Asia, that she feels better.
Thank you.
And my question for your guest is, how can I prevent sleep paralyzation or paralysis, whatever you want to call it? It's bothered me off and on for 3 years, and it comes out of the blue. And when I wake up in this dreamlike state, I'm actually awake. I can see my clock. I can see my hands moving on my clock. But I can't move my body, and I go into a horrific nervous frenzy. It just scares me because I'm aware of what's going on, but I can't move my body. And one time, only one, I heard a whistling in my ear, a crazy whistling. But I wrote it down when I've had it and tried to talk it out and research it on the Internet, but I really am enjoying tonight's show, and I thought they could give me some insight on it.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Tammy, two things. Initially, I think everyone has experienced the paralysis at one time or another. Some people, like yourself, a lot more than
right.
normal.
And, well, it's really frightening. It is terrifying to be paralyzed. And
it is. It is. And
I suppose the ever-present who is going to help?
Yeah,
yes.
I was going to ask that. But
yeah.
I can't move my lips when I get this way.
But what? You can think it as opposed to doing it out loud, and it will have the same benefit.
Exactly. And when we come back into the body from sleeping, when we come back into the body, we're not fully back into the consciousness, back into the body yet. And because of that, the mechanism that freezes your body so you don't hurt yourself during a dream, in other words, you don't enact most dreams, jump up and go running down the stairs because in the dream you are. There's
exactly,
a mechanism
yeah.
that shuts us down. And that mechanism is still on because you're not totally in energy form back in your body yet. So the solution really is, like Nicole mentioned and Art mentioned, just cue silently to yourself if you can
right.
remember it, and it will release you from that.
Now, when I get this, my heart gets really, really fast. I keep thinking
mm-hmm.
that I'm diabetic. Could I have any physical problems from being so scared from this?
No, you shouldn't.
Really? I just said sure.
Are you diabetic?
Yes, I am diabetic, but I mean that doesn't really have a lot to do with it. But
well, I know what I was going to say. What I was going to say though is definitely, I mean, everything's connected, so you should certainly be monitoring your blood sugar. You know.
And yeah, I do. But I mean,
I'm sorry. I said sure based on what you said earlier in the show that you know physical harm can come to you in such a circumstance.
Right. That's what I was wondering. Yeah, it's really scary. I've tried to talk to people, and they blow me off like, I'm just a nightmare. But no, I was actually awake every time.
Yeah, the thing is to relax. If you can remember to relax, Tammy, when this occurs, even if you can't remember to hue, if you'll just relax and go, oh, okay, surrender to it, you'll come right out of it. And it's because you're not fully back in your body as an energy form yet. So,
right.
Tammy, try the hue. Let me know how that works for you.
I sure will. I hope to God, I prayed to him and told him never let that happen to me again. But at nighttime when I go to bed, it's something that really scares me.
I do understand. Thank you very much. And let's go right back to Michigan. And Mark, hi.
Hello. How are you doing?
Fine.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I am a first-time caller. I just started listening to your show about a week and a half ago.
Really?
And I really enjoy it, yes.
How did you, out of curiosity, Michael, how did you find us?
My name's Mark.
Mark, I'm sorry. Mark,
yeah,
how did you find
actually, I was listening to, what is that, HNT or something like that? I can't remember. Channel 116.
Okay.
And I heard the commercial on it, and it really intrigued me, and I wanted to start listening to your show.
Okay, good.
Yep, but what I wanted to ask your guest there is, I have a reoccurring dream that happens every year, and it happens every year at the same time.
Mm.
And it's my birthday. And just be real quick about it. I don't want to get drunk. You know, long gone out on the dream there, but to be real quick about it is, it's basically I'm a child in the dream, and my mother asked me to do something, and I'm playing a video game. I tell her, you know, I'll get it as soon as I'm done doing this, you know, and my dad steps in and walks out to the lighthouse, does what I was supposed to do. And then when he comes back, he's like trapped inside there. He's trying to break the window, can't do it. He yells at me to go get my mother. I start running across the yard there. It turns into a sheet of ice, and I start sliding. And as I'm sliding, all these spirits come up. And right before I slide into them, I always wake up.
Wow. And you're telling me you have this every birthday of your life?
Every birthday of yes. It did not happen. It did not happen last year. And actually, I don't know why it didn't happen. My only guess is I just got a dog last year, and she's been in my life for a little while now, and I have not had that dream since I've gotten her. But
maybe she protected you. All right, you two, that's pretty wild stuff. You know, except for one year, to have the same dream every year on your birthday. That's pretty eerie.
That is eerie. And it's interesting because the dreams that we have right around our birthday are very significant. They're a snapshot of what's coming in our life. And what's really important to us, the messages that are coming through right around our birthday. So the fact that you've had that same dream recurring, we call them recurring dreams, has an important message specifically for you. And only, Mark, only you really know what that message is. And what I would do is, if it were my dream, I would, when you go to sleep tonight, and every night for the next few nights, ask and hue for a minute. Just hue for maybe 30 seconds to a minute before you fall asleep and ask for clarification on the dream. What message does that dream hold for you that comes in every birthday? And you'll have another dream and jot it down.
So you can actually get an answer. In other words, I want clarification. Why do I keep having this dream? If you concentrate on that, you'll get an answer?
You bet. Hold it as you're falling asleep. Ask, and night one, night two, night three, you will get a dream that clarifies what that dream means, and that's specifically for you.
That's good stuff. Mitch in Wyoming, hello.
Hey, Art Roswell. Hi. I had a question for your guest real fast here. I deal with what's called a healing ministry at my church, and it involves a lot of dark things around. And I've noticed that they've actually attacked me at night as well. What can I do to protect myself from that situation?
Well, that's the best thing to do is make sure you're always remaining clear right before you go to sleep. Preferably, don't watch any dark material on TV before you go to sleep, because of not only the material itself and the content, but the EMFs, electromagnetic fields that are coming off the TV will go directly into your dreams. And, you know, you can ask for protection. I would try hewing just before I fall asleep.
Hewing, okay.
Universal name for God, and it's non-denominational, and it'll set up a vibration of protection.
You know, Michael, I watch The Walking Dead just before I go to bed a lot of times, and it doesn't bother me a bit. Not a bit. All right, let's go here, I guess. New Hampshire. Hi, Scott.
I was curious about the Asheville police. I'm a law enforcement officer right now.
And,
you know, I'm destined to be an Asheville cop after I pass, and will I probably be dealing with the same people I'm dealing now? But now thrown into jail, am I going to throw them into Astro jail later on? It really intrigued me. I was like, wow, maybe that's where cops go after they pass on.
Well, Scott, if you're a cop now, are you really looking forward to being one in the afterlife?
Actually, no. I want nothing to do with it.
I thought not. but it's an interesting question.
Well,
is he destined to continue on in the next life, you know, putting spirits in cuffs?
Well, the pay is really good on the astral plane, so that's good news, all right? And actually what you're doing, because you're a cop right now, you can be pretty much assured that you're also a cop right now on the astral plane, because it's like a mirror. What's going on here closely parallels what's going on the astral plane. So you're probably already a cop there. You're doing double duty, so you should demand double pay.
Okay, pretty poor connection, actually. I'm sorry. I guess I can look forward to astral radio.
It sounds good to me.
Okay. Let's see. Here's somebody who's been waiting in Minnesota. John, hello.
Hey, Art. Mega Roswell. Yeah, there. Thank you for bringing your guest on. I mean, it sort of explains some of the stuff that's been going on in my life since I've been about 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always believed in what I call traveling, and basically going between the planes, and I don't even have to be asleep to be able to do this and all that. Wow. And
so you're saying you can essentially astral travel while you're awake.
I could be sitting where I am right now and project myself sitting right next to you in your guest house, right almost next to you to your screen. You're looking at a desktop 19-inch monitor right now.
Stop that. that's really, really eerie. Have you two heard of anything like that before?
Yes. Some people are very good at traveling, and they don't have to go into contemplation or into a altered state of consciousness like sleep. they do it naturally. Obviously, he does it all the time.
Yeah, it sounds like remote viewing to me.
Remote viewing is very closely parallel.
Well, I'm looking around right now very carefully, and I want to remind everybody I'm armed. Ay. Some of this stuff, like I said earlier, you can't unhear. Let's go to Kentucky and Jason.
Yeah, it's me here. I am a long-haul truck driver.
No, usually, kidding.
Yeah. usually I have dreams sometimes that, you know, you have a dream and then you just forget about it and you just go on your day and then you did something and you're like, whoa, I've done this before. You've never been there or whatever and you just did it. And you're like,
right.
You know, like that's kind of strange if you ask me.
Yeah. That's known as déjà vu, and déjà vu is French, and what it means is having seen before. And often,
We'll
have a dream, a prophetic dream, we will forget the dream, then we will meet that experience out here in the physical, and it looks familiar, it feels familiar, and that is the déjà vu of a prophetic dream that we had forgotten.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty crazy.
Answer your question?
I have another one. This is really strange. Me and my ex-girlfriend went and seen my grandparents, like the grave. And I had my dog there with me. And I looked at my dog and my grandparents, like they were talking to me. And I'm like, you know, and I was... It was weird. Like the dog was actually talking to me.
That is a little strange, but interesting. And
what kind of message did you get?
Yeah,
it was like you know, everything's gonna be all right and stuff like that. And that was pretty much it. And we're here for you. And
this was all said by your dog, right?
Yeah. It wasn't physically said. It was
telepathically.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess animals can do that. You would think he'd be complaining about, I don't know, being fed more or something like that, but no, it was a message actually from the other side. So that's pretty wild. Okay, to Oregon and Josh. Hello, Josh.
Hello, Art, and what an honor to be speaking with you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to get your guest's perception on a dream I had. You talked earlier about, I think we all experienced a dream falling off a cliff or about to die, and you always wake up right before anything bad happens, but... about 2 years ago, I had a dream, and I will never forget it. It was the most realistic dream I've ever had. I actually ended up dying in the dream. I'll try to make it quick, but it started off a really happy dream. I got a lot of family in Montana, and in my dream, my wife and my two kids, we were just got on the road heading to Montana. I had a new job lined up, and a house was waiting for us. It was a sunny day. Everything's happy. When we get there, turns out my neighbor was an old step-cousin of mine, my uncle's step-kid, who in real life turned out to be a real crappy person. He stole lots of money from my uncle, beat him up. My uncle was a paraplegic and stole almost everything he had. But in my dream, anyways, he ends up being my neighbor, and we're friendly to one another at first. The next day in my dream, I head over to his house. I'm going down his driveway, going there to borrow a tool, and I see him and a friend of his. He was a very large man. They're standing at the trunk of his car looking in, and as I go up, I notice it's my cousin's girlfriend. She's dead. They just killed her. And you know, I'm just scared out of my wits in the dream, but I try to play it cool. I'm like, you know, telling him, oh, you know, she deserved what she got. And the whole time I'm telling myself, you know, just play it cool, get out of here, and then you can call the cops. He asked me to go grab a knife out of the front seat of his car, and I do. And as soon as I turn around, I'm faced with him. He has a pistol pointed at me, and he says, you shouldn't have came over here. He shoots me twice in the stomach, and I just, like, instantly go into shock. It felt so real. I could feel the adrenaline. Everything's in slow motion. And I tell myself, the only way you're getting out of this alive is to attack him, get that gun from him. So I rush him. You know, he's about 3 paces away from me. I reach to grab for the pistol, and pop, shoots it and hits me right in the head. And everything in slow-mo, I see myself falling to the ground in slow motion, and everything just fades to black, and I'm telling myself, oh my gosh, this is it. I'm dead. Oh my gosh, this is death. I can't believe this is happening. And everything goes dark, and it's just complete darkness and silence for a couple of seconds. As soon as I'm asking myself, coming to terms with realization, I just died, and I ask myself, okay, what's next? It's at that point I wake up.
And, well, it's reassuring that you ask yourself what's next.
Yeah.
Other than that, that's a terrible, terrible dream. Absolutely awful. Let's see what they have to say about it, folks.
Sometimes this would be my take on that if it were my dream. Sometimes in the dream state, we work through things so that we don't have to do them out here in our daily reality. In other words, we do them on another plane, such as the astral plane, where there's a lot of violence and darkness, which is probably where that dream came from. And we actually go through it in there so we don't have to go through it out here. So it's a blessing in disguise.
It's a really good disguise. All right. Hold it right there. We'll be right back. In the nighttime, in the dark, you're listening to Dark Matter. I'm Art Bell. This is so interesting. Nancy writes, hey, Art, that guy who talked about the dreams that you said you had, he was right. I remember it. In fact, they replayed a show recently in which you said it. So there you go. I did have those dreams. I guess time has taken its toll, eh? And then here's another one from Tony, who says, the dream of the driver hitting the overpass? Decoded. It means he doesn't trust his driver. What do you guys think?
Trust yourself.
But could it mean that?
It could. Yeah.
No, I think it's about him.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, it's
limiting himself, cutting himself short.
Or a warning dream. Seriously, that somewhere down the way, it could be a kind of prophecy. I wanted to tell him to make sure his insurance is up to date, but I didn't want to say that.
Okay. And then it is interesting. Apparently, I did have those dreams many years ago of being somebody else. And now I kind of vaguely remember it. And I guess the reason I didn't recall it is because, you know, it just wasn't. It was important to me at the time, but it wasn't overarchingly important. In other words, some dreams I've had, like the one I explained to you about the circuit board I wrote out, actually, that wasn't a dream. That was just a aha moment when I woke up. But those kind of things, you remember all your life. I do recall being bothered by dreaming about being somebody else or as though I was in somebody else's life. But it wasn't horrible. It was just weird.
That's probably a past life. That's probably a past life dream, Art. And when you dream of being somebody else, I mean, think about that for a second. It's because you're somebody else, most likely. So, and it's not a bad life. It could have been a great life. Maybe, you know, you're a whatever in that life, but a good life.
Yeah, it wasn't a really impactful dream. It was somebody else, though. I do remember that now. Scott in California, you're on the air.
Thanks very much for taking my call.
I really enjoy your show, Mr. Bell.
Thank you.
I was sent to a sleep center one time to be tested for sleep apnea. And they hook up a lot of different sensors all over your body, your fingertips, around your chest. They'll put a deal, they'll shave your areas of your scalp so they can glue sensors on that, tape stuff on your eyelids to monitor REM and all of that. And then you're laying there under a infrared camera. But prior to the beginning of the test, the technician asked me if I wanted to spend the night or when they're done with me, wake me up and send me home. I says, no, when you're done with me, you know, send me home. I don't want to stay here any longer than I have to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm laying there, I'm sleeping along and this and that. And at one point in time, I was laying there. I was completely awake with my eyes shut, trying to, you know, go back to sleep. I don't know where I'm at in their study. So I'm just trying to go back to sleep, whatever, and I'm laying there, and I can tell that the door came open. The light, you know, illuminated the room, and I could tell somebody walked in. The guy goes, yeah, I can see you're awake now, so you can go ahead and go home, which is really freaked me out. But with that in mind, do you think, or have they developed any technology to record our dreams? Are they looking into that, recording dreams?
Really good question. Are they working on that?
Because
I want to know, too. Hold on, sir.
Okay.
Are they working on that? Might we one day be able to record dreams?
Yeah, I think because of our digital technology and where we're at with that today, they are working on it. And, you know, there's a few sci-fi movies you guys are probably aware of that, you know, where they're able to record dreams or even something similar to that. And we're probably not that far away, a year, maybe a few years at most, to being able to do that. So that'll be kind of fun.
Yeah, you know, because with REM, they can tell things through REM, rapid eye movement. But
right.
One time I'm sitting there at night, and my daughter comes out, and she's talking, says something, or sits on the couch, and she's looking off into a blank stare, and I try to talk to her a little bit, and I look at her, and I said, I'll be doggone, she's sleepwalking. And then she gets up, and she goes to bed, and then I asked her the next day, I go, hey, do you remember getting up and coming out and talking to me? She says, no. Well, in order, when you get to that point in time where you're sleepwalking, there's a lot of things going on in your head, and you're sleeping. So,
right.
Anyway.
Yeah, the mechanism is slightly flawed. That's supposed to shut your body down. So people who sleepwalk really are enacting out a dream, and then they don't remember it. But there's a few of those people.
Okay, thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome. Take care. Off to New York and Anthony.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Just fine.
Okay, my story, should I begin?
You should.
Okay, well, it's sort of a long and complicated story, but when I was younger...
Well, we can't take long, complicated stories.
All right, I'll try to make it as fast as possible.
Encapsulated.
Okay, when I was younger, I used to see ghosts, and then I started playing with the Ouija board with me and my friends for fun. Then my friends had enough of playing with the Ouija board, but I continued to play on my own. Until one day it spelt out the word devil to me, and then I threw the Ouija board out, which I know I shouldn't have done, but I did. And I had a roommate at the time, and all of a sudden he started going through sleep paralysis. He started getting attacks. You know, I sort of laughed it off. I didn't know anything about it, what it was. But then not much later, I started getting them too. So here we are simultaneously getting the attacks together. And this was going on for like 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 20 years that we have the attacks. But what's funny is that when the attacks do come on, we get them at the same time, and then they disappear for like a month or so, and then they come back, and again, we're both getting them at the same time. So I think
that's not so funny, actually.
No. And then one night, you know, when you're having these, you could hear footsteps coming up through your stairs or something. You hear voices. You see a black shadow in the corner of the room. And one night I just woke up and I had enough, and I started screaming at it, get out of my house, and praying to God. And then it stopped for like a year. Neither one of us got the attack again. But then it came back with sort of like a vengeance where something new was happening. My whole body would tremble and shake, like vibrate, and I'd hear a loud buzzing in my head. And then one night, I actually felt like I left my body, and I could see myself, and I had like a cord attached to me, and I felt like it was an incredible feeling. I felt like I wanted to go with it, but I knew that if I did go with it, something bad might happen, so I returned to my body. And I didn't know what else to do, so I looked online, and that's where I heard about getting a dream catcher. And it's funny you mentioned that before. So about a year ago, I purchased a dream catcher, and everything stopped for both me and him.
Well, I've only had,
about three attacks within a year.
Yeah, you believe in it, so it works.
My roommate doesn't, but he only gets it when I get it, too, and there's only been like about three.
Tell you what I think. I think your troubles go back to the Ouija board, but that's just me.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. So, I mean, I don't know. But the dream catcher is helping, I think. And the funny thing is that I actually stopped dreaming when I got the dream catcher. Like, when I had a sleep paralysis attack, I would wake up having a terrible nightmare, like something really scary.
Sure.
And when I come out of it, like, you know, you can't move. You can only move your eyes. But that's my story.
And it's a good one. You want to comment on Ouija boards at all, folks?
Well, other than what we were talking about earlier with the entity and the Ouija board, you know, it definitely opens up the channel for entities to come on in. So, you know, we don't recommend it at all. I was even talking to my mother earlier today, and she had one growing up, and she said that thing moved all around, you know, and yeah, they're very real, and they open up that channel. So if that's what you're looking for, you know, it'll do the trick, but at the same time.
Yeah, if you want to open a door, go ahead, but don't be surprised when something walks through.
Yeah.
Graham on Skype, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, it's actually Heather, but that's okay.
It says Graeme.
Oh, I must log in on my brother's instead.
I see. Okay.
Anyway, first time caller, and I've just started listening as well. Love the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. My question is, they've talked about connecting to past lives, and as well as dreams sort of prophesizing future events, but I'm wondering if you can actually connect with future lives as well.
Ooh,
that's a good question, Heather. And the answer is yes. And I'll explain it through. Here's the best explanation that I've got: quantum physics. And quantum has proven, not speculation on this one, that there is no past, there is no future, and there's only a present moment. Because people say, they ask us all the time, how can my dreams be prophetic? How can it prophesy what's coming in a month or a year down the way? Or I met my wife 5 years before I met her in a dream, and it was very, very clear and lucid. The answer is, when we dream, we leave the body and we go into the quantum moment. We access our future lives as well as our past lives, and that way we can see and bring back some of our future lives, if that's what you're looking for.
Is there a way for, say, your future lives to direct your current life? Like, say, you know, you got to watch out that you don't do X.
Yes, actually, when the dream information that comes in, if you simply start tracking your dreams through dream journaling, every night, get really methodical about it. Anything at all, a fragment, anything you get, jot it down. Even if it's just one word, one feeling even, jot it down. And pretty soon, you'll be able to look at that journal. You'll be able to actually see your future. You won't be blindsided. You will get a snapshot of where you're headed, what you need to avoid and what you need to do to reach your potential. And it happens very quickly. Within a period of a month or so, you'll start connecting the dots.
Very cool. All right, thanks.
Thank you very much, and have a good day, and thank you for calling on Skype. I like my Skype. Florida brings Buddy. Hi, Buddy.
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
After all just fine.
To you.
Thank
Listen,
you.
I got two, and I dream a lot. I look forward to doing dreaming and stuff, but I have wild dreams about snakes and stuff like that. And then my other one is my mother's in her 70s, and I always tell her that if she, any time of the night, if she ever needs me, I always sleep with my phone right beside me, my cell phone.
Right.
But one night, I had a dream that she called me and told me she felt the life being sucked out of her, and then I tried to talk to her, and she just, I don't know, I couldn't talk to her on the phone or nothing, and it was just weird.
That was a dream or reality?
Yeah, dream.
Well, you were, I'm not a dream expert, but I guess you were concerned about her.
Yeah. Well, what about the dreams about having dreams about snakes and wild stuff like that? And I mean, I've had some dreams that so scared I even wake myself up. I know I can wake myself up. You know. Hey, wow.
Well, to me, it means that. In the next week or so, you're going to go to bed, and you're going to wake up in the middle of the night, and you're going to feel all these things crawling around you and over you, and you're going to look down, and you're going to see about 100 snakes.
Nah, I ain't never had nothing like that, man.
I'm sorry, I have no idea what it means. Folks, you any idea?
It depends on what snakes means to the dreamer. In other words, some people have pet snakes and they love them. Other people, they absolutely fear and loathe snakes. So sometimes snakes in dreams mean spiritual energy also. So it's kind of a message for you to pay attention because of the snakes. Pay attention to your dreams. They have a message for you.
I think I'm more in the fear and loathing category. All righty. Pennsylvania and Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Art. I got... A couple of different experiences that have happened to me. By the way, it's a privilege to talk to you. I love your show. I'm an over the road truck driver.
A truck driver.
Imagine that.
Listener.
Hi.
Yes,
hey.
Sir.
Okay, a couple of years ago, it was February 2011. I was working for a company that had APUs on their truck. All right. I'm going down I-77 in West Virginia. I stopped in Ripley at a brand-new Love's truck stop. Easy, pulled right in spot. Luckily, I was dead tired. I stop, shut the truck off. My APU comes on, heater comes on. I jump in bed. I'm dead tired. I can't wait to get to sleep. I mean, I'm smiling at my pillow. I jump in bed. I try to go to sleep, and weird stuff starts happening. It's just a cool night out. It's not windy or anything. I feel my truck start moving. It's as if somebody was on it. And I heard a sound, a distinct sound of it. You could hear it yourself from the old Crocus song, a group called Crocus. And there's a song where there's like a beer bottle goes rolling across a tile floor.
Right.
And I heard that sound so distinctly, and I imagined that it was a beer bottle rolling down and hit the curb by my truck. I got up, I threw on some slip-on shoes, and I jumped out. I started looking around with a flashlight. Nobody, nothing around me. Everything's quiet. Get back in the truck. Okay, this is getting annoying. I get back into bed. I felt like somebody got in my truck. I felt the door close. I heard noise. I felt a cold breeze around me as if somebody got into the truck. Nothing. I jump up. I'm looking around. Nothing. And this goes on and on, just annoying me. I'm so tired. I just want to go to sleep badly. In the morning, I got up. I finally got to sleep. I'm still tired. I wake up. I look across, and there's like a big ditch in front of me. And I imagine, I would like to know if any other truck drivers experience this. And there's like a big ditch that's filled with broken concrete. Across this ditch, there's an old graveyard, which I didn't see that night. But in the morning, I spot this old graveyard, and it's right up to the edge of this ditch. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, they probably disturbed some graves and some spirits. Well, a couple weeks ago, remember when you had Charles Status on?
Yes.
The night before that, I was on I-77 in West Virginia in a town called or near Gallagher at a rest area on the southbound side of I-77. Same thing. I'm dead tired. I can't stay awake any longer. I squeeze into a little spot at this rest area about 4:30 in the morning. I can't wait to get in bed. I get into bed. Truck's all closed up. The windows are closed. I get into bed. I'm asleep before my head hit the pillow. But something woke me up, and this is how it went. I immediately started dreaming that I'm moving through the darkness. In my dream, I'm vertical, rolling on the seat or coasting on the seat of a bicycle. Something grabs me, which would be similar to like a parachute harness. I'm a former paratrooper. It felt like a parachute harness on me, but squeezing my neck as well, and then it was like being tightened down, and it started to physically hurt me in my crotch area and on my shoulders and started to choke me, and it began to lift me up into the air, and I shook myself awake, screaming, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
I went up.
Listen, sir, we're going to have to leave it there, but I'm not trading dreams with you. I don't want any of those dreams at all. I appreciate your reciting all that to us, but we're going to have to go unless you got a punchline here.
Yes. When I woke up, I fell to my bed. I was off my bed.
Oh, my.
Horizontally.
You were actually in the air?
In the air a couple inches and fell to my bed when I woke up. And it scared the hell out of me.
I'm sure it did.
Just thinking about it.
I hear you.
Back down on my bed. What would do that? Is that like, was I being attacked by an evil spirit or something, or what?
Okay, let's see what they say. Sometimes there is a jolting awake that feels as though you're falling out of the air. That's all I can offer up.
Yeah, and I would agree with that, Art. A lot of times it feels like we're falling back to the bed because when we come into our consciousness, we're out in a dream state.
Right.
We literally feel like we've just dropped from the ceiling sometimes, and it's a perception having to do with coming back to the physical.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break, our final break right here. Stay right where you are. And, gee, I wonder if I wanted to do a show one night on trucking. You think we could get enough calls from truckers to do a show like that? I'll have to give that some thought. From the high desert, the great American Southwest, this is Dark Matter, proceeding, raging in the night. Gotta love it. And here comes Dave, who sent me a wormhole message. And Dave says, for me, dreams are free entertainment, good or bad. Must say, I love the bad ones. I'd be the first person I've heard say that. He actually enjoys the bad dreams. Are there people like that you guys encounter?
I was working with an 11-year-old today, and that's exactly what he said.
Really?
Yep.
That's amazing. Really amazing. I don't like the bad ones. I'll pass on those. Okay. It's been a long time. Kansas, thank you for waiting, Bob. Rob.
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Rob it is, yes.
Hello, Art. How you doing?
I'm going to guess that you're an over-the-road truck driver.
You are absolutely correct, sir.
Boy, that was really a shot in the dark, but I made it. Anyway, what's up?
Well, speaking of shots in the dark, Art, I think I know what your announcement is tomorrow. If you want to hear about it, if you want to let me take a shot at it, I will after I talk to your guests here. But if not, I'll send you an email. But anyway,
okay, send me an email.
Okay, I'll do it, and I will title it that Art. I don't know, Robbed Art, something like that. But anyway,
okay, that's fine.
Okay, for your guests, I've had a dream for several years now that I went to a girl that claimed to be like a little witch or psychic, or she claimed to know stuff that other people don't know. And she was very young. She didn't have a business or nothing. But she gave me a description of what she thought caused it, and I'll ask you what you think causes it. But I've got this dream that I'm a sycamore tree. I don't know if you've ever seen a specific sycamore tree, but they're extremely tall. They're big. They grow where they can get a lot of water.
Wait a minute. Okay. You dreamed you were a tree?
No. This dream has to do with a sycamore tree.
Okay.
But I'm in the very, very, very top of this tree. And I don't know why I didn't climb it, but for some reason I fall. And I fall not down the tree through the branches, but away from the tree. I fall like all of a sudden I'm 50 feet from the tree, and I'm falling straight to the ground, and I'm falling so fast that my body outruns my soul, or I go into an out-of-body experience. I watch myself hit the ground. It's extremely loud, the thump, and I see myself roll over, and I hear a moan. After that, I wake up.
Okay.
I have no idea.
How long have you had that dream?
How long have I had it? Since I was probably 17, and I am 41 now.
When's the last time you had it?
Probably, I don't know. I joined the Army after September 11th, and I was graduated from basic training. I had it while I was active duty. But I'd say the last time probably 6 years ago.
Were you a jumper in the military?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah, here we go. When we have a recurring dream like that, it's a strong message for us. And when it happens, when it occurs, the key question you ask yourself is, what's going on in my life right now? The dream is directly tied into that. Now, that being said, typically what that type of dream is about is soul traveling and falling back into the body. And the dream sensor jumbles the symbology, and it's represented for you by the sycamore tree, and you're falling off of the tree, and you hit the ground with the loud thump. So pretty much, it's probably a soul travel dream and coming back into the body.
Okay, so now I have actually more questions than I have than I had when I called you.
Hey, you can always shoot us an email, hon. We'll be glad to work with you. Pro bono. We do pro bono work all the time, so.
Pro bono is good. All right. We've got to leave it there because we're running out of time. If they want to send you an email, how do they do it?
Well, they can go to our website, trustyourself.tv, like television. And it'll take us right to the website. They can get a hold of us through there. They can order the books, do-it-yourself system, give us a call, send us an email, donate to our shop.
I want to interrupt you because it says here, trustyourselfsystem.com.
Oh, we have several URLs, but they all go to the same website, Art.
Or dreamteamcoaching.tv.
That's correct.
Correct.
They'll all get you to the same place.
All right. All right. Mm-hmm. And any books you would like to, you must have a favorite book you'd like to plug right now, right?
Well, they're all about knowingness. One is called The Trust Yourself System. It's an actual manual with formulas on how to interpret any dream, sign, or intuitive hunch. One is called Trust Yourself, Master Your Dreams, Master Your Destiny. One is all about the hue. One step solution, just say hue, the universal panacea. And the last one is sociology of soul. So,
trust me, if anything came through tonight, hue definitely came through. So I want to thank you both for being here. It has been a blast, like a dream come true, actually. So We'll do it again one day to be sure that this, ladies and gentlemen, is what long-form talk radio is like, where you really get into a subject. Thank you both.
Thanks, Art. Have a good one.
Really enjoyed it, Art. Thanks.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye. All right, well, that's it for this night. Tomorrow night, of course, is Spooky Matter. Been waiting for that for a while, and we may call you. Still a chance to get in if you've got a really scary ghost story. Send it to Art Bell at artbell.com, along with a phone number, and we might call you. How's that for a swap? Anyway, we will have an announcement of some description tomorrow night toward the end of the show. For now, good night from the high desert.